This is Batman. Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. It's what it does, because I'm Batman.
Welcome to episode 90 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Double milestone this time, people. Not only is it episode 90, but it's also 3 years of Comic Timing. And what way to celebrate life of Comic Timing than with death? Death in comics here. We got Brad from Comic Tube. We got Chad Burdett, Unknown Fanboy. We got Brent Cassino and myself all talking death this episode. Our parents are alive. Here now, Comic Timing. Milestone, 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 milestone. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 90 of Comic Timing. Yes, indeed. We have made it past the 80s. We have gotten into the 90s. I am immediately going to don spiky armor and about 17 pockets just to celebrate that we have finally reached the 90s. And I
was going to say a plaid shirt.
Ooh, that'll work too.
And a massive haircut.
Also good. First off,
ditch the hairspray.
Ditch the hairspray. What am I, Liefeld? Crap, man. Yeah, and I'll get my Levi's three-legged jeans while I'm at it. All right, we're joined this episode, first off, by the out-of-college graduated co-host, not co-host, Brent Cassina. You're on your own now, Brent.
Yeah, but I'm still living at home, saving money.
Bastard. Yes, and you have a job lined up already, so yeah, you know, I think you're good. I think you're good.
I have a job started already. Today was my second day.
Oh, really? Really? How goes the daily grind?
It was okay. They slapped a big manual about this airplane on my desk before I get a computer, so I'm tearing through that. It's about 1,000 pages front and back.
Oh, not bad. Hollow foil cover?
No.
Is there a variant? Is there a variant?
You can probably swap the cover out because it's in a binder, but... okay. Doesn't change the inside.
All right. Remember to fill out your TPS reports.
and make sure to wear plenty of bling, you know, like all those buttons that they wear at TJ Fridays and everything. You'll be good.
Flair.
There you go. That's what I was trying to think of. And the man who wants us to also wear flair is the other half of the Comic Tube podcast. We've had.
I'm addicted to flair.
Oh, really? Wow, now I'm scared of you. Brad Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, also of Comic Tube. What's going on, Brad?
Yes, not too much right now.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
Anybody ever tell you your voice sounds a lot like your co-hosts?
No, not at all. Maybe I am.
Ooh, the bait and switch.
Dun, dun, dun.
The bait and switch, I like that. I like that a lot. And returning this episode for the second time on Skype, yet again proving that he can be on episodes of Comic Timing when not in a hotel room. It is Chad Burdett. What's up, Chad?
Slowly trying to take it day by day. I haven't Twittered for about 2 days and slowly making it.
Mm. Wait. You haven't Twittered in like 2 days? Do people think you're dead?
Yeah. I mean, I've been told that their Facebook updates are less interesting.
This is going to be like that episode of House that aired a couple of weeks ago where, like, you know, he's going to think that he's detoxing and then it turns out that he's actually been Twittering the entire time. I'm not going to spoil the full episode, but yeah, that was pretty epic. Chad, you will never escape Twitter.
Well, you know, I did Viasma Walk in Boston this past weekend and we had to raise donations. I said, $100, I won't get that in donations. And so I kind of upped the ante saying that I wouldn't Twitter for 2 weeks if I met my donations. And I met my donations. And
you are handicapped.
But if, you know, I was given an out and was told if I got my face painted, then I could Twitter for 2 weeks and I have those pictures of me as Spider-Man on my Facebook right now.
I want Spider-Man face paint.
Dude, there's a line around the block right now. You're going to have to wait your turn.
Damn.
Son of a bitch.
I did push
Deadpool.
Some kids out of the way to get it done.
Yeah. I'll be in Boston for Anime Boston, so not for nearly a good cause. And as usual, this episode of Comic Timing is brought to you by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Well, the picks for June are up, the books for June are up as well, and we have a bunch of wonderful savings this month at Heroes Corner, and they're all in the fan section. The fan section continues to grow over at Heroes Corner, so if you actually want to make picks for books that you yourself think that everybody's going to enjoy, just head on over to Heroes Corner and give them your picks, and you'll be included in the fan picks for the month. This month, in the month of June, we've got obviously the Comic Timing picks, as well as picks from Cryptographic, which include Die Hard Year One, Number One, Titanium Reign, and they also pick one of those same books that we did. However, I'll talk about that in a little bit. PKD Media has picks on here, as well as Comics Online, and fitting enough for this episode, Comic Tube has some picks, such as the Devil May Cry Complete Box Set, the Wolverine and the X-Men animated DVD Deadly Enemies, and Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog DVD are there for them. So go ahead and check out all the deals this month at Heroes Corner. I'll give you some of the quick picks that I can get off the top of my head here on the front page. Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1, the restart of Ultimate Spider-Man, is 50% off on Heroes Corner, only $2. Incredible Hulk number 601 is 50% off this month. So is Brave and the Bold number 26, Absolution number 1. And Ultimate Avengers is also on sale for 50% off. Ultimate Event Comics Avengers number 1, that is, 50% off for $2. So let's go to the Comic Timing picks, and we begin with the start of Hickman and Eaglesham's run on Fantastic Four number 570. Now, this book is 75% off at Heroes Corner, so it's only 75 cents, and it's still a $2.99 book, so that's very nice in my mind. The cover is by the gorgeous cover is by Alan Davis, and as mentioned previously, Jonathan Hickman begins his run here. Technically started with Dark Reign Fantastic Four, but on the regular Fantastic Four book, it begins here with pencils by JSA's own Dale Eaglesham. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be fantastic. 75% off on Heroes Corner. Go ahead and check that out. Doom Patrol number 1 is our DC pick for the month, and this one's written by Keith Giffen, co-feature written by Keith Giffen and JMD Mateus. Art in the main feature by Matthew Clark, and a co-feature art by Kevin McGuire. So it's just going to have the JLI team reunited in the co-feature, and in the front, we got ourselves a new Doom Patrol book, and the Metal Men are the back. And this should be interesting here. I mean, Doom Patrol haven't had their own book since that John Byrne relaunch ages ago, and it's about damn time to have Doom Patrol officially be back in the DCU. They're 50% off this month. From the regular price of $3.99, it's only $2 at Heroes Corner. And Days Missing, number 1, is the other pick. This is special here because, first off, the first cover, the Dale Keown cover of Days Missing, number 1, is only regular price of 99 cents this month. Now, it's 50% off on Heroes Corner, so you're only going to be getting it for 50 cents this month if you choose the Dave Keown cover. If you want to go with the Fraser Irving limited edition cover, that one is a regular price of $3.99, only $2. So you've got your choices there. You can either get a comic for 50 cents or you can get one for $2. Either way, it's our pick of the month, Days Missing number 1, and that's out of Archaea Studios. So that's written by Phil Hester with art by Fraser Irving. Should be a lot of fun. And as usual, the Comic Timing Heroes Corner code of the month is CTROCKS. That's CTROCKS. If you've never used Heroes Corner before and want to give Heroes Corner a shot, well, what better way to do it than using the CTROCKS code? Get an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner at heroescorner.com. Best damn customer service around. That never changes. And neither do the wonderful amount of comics you've got on Heroes Corner, heroescorner.com. All right, we're Death in Comics this week to celebrate 3 years of Comic Timing. The life of Comic Timing will be celebrated by death. So, Brent and Brad, fight to the death.
The end.
Damn! Why didn't I think of that first? All right. Death can be shocking. It can be a game changer. It can give strength to others, or it can leave them broken. Or it can be completely meaningless. The same can be said for death in comic books. What are some of your favorite comic book deaths? When it comes to supporting characters, did death add to the book or subtract from it? Apply the same question to when a new creative team is taking over a book and decides to clean house. Do deaths increase the importance of line-wide events? Why should a character be killed in a comic? And of course, should death be permanent in comics, or is it better to have a revolving door policy? We celebrate 3 years with death. Go figure. And this episode shall begin with Brent, and we're going to ask the simple question first. What do you think when you see a character die in comics?
Not going to last very long.
The one-sentence answer. The patented one-sentence answer.
I'm sorry, that's what I think. That is what I think. They killed off Steve Rogers, and what do we have in Marvel Comics nowadays? An ad for his return.
Well,
so we think.
We don't know that yet. We don't know that.
Well, especially since...
I'm sorry. It's a star with things, and it says reborn.
That could
and
be
apparently,
anything.
Brubaker has some secret project with, what's his name, ever so late Brian Hitch,
yeah,
who can't even get his 12 issues of Fantastic Four done in a year that he promised us he would.
Well, neither can Miller, so, you know, that's
well,
both of them.
Whatever it is, they're, yuck, please, just move on.
Well, look, with that whole Reborn thing, we don't know whether it's going to be Cap yet, because there was some preview art that was posted on Comic Book Resources of what appeared to be the Bucky from Heroes Reborn, so maybe it has something to do with that.
Oh, God, I thought we got rid of that.
Yeah, nothing.
Monstrosity.
Sorry, buddy, you never escape. The Heroes Reborn. It always
I've got no problem with Heroes Reborn.
Yeah, it had its moments, and then it had its Liefeld. Enough said. But all right, so to go along the lines of what you just said, Brent. Like, I mean, how do they? And this is a really weird question to ask. How do they improve death in comics? Then I mean, are you ever going to think that death's going to last? I mean, like it. Is there a certain character? Like, I mean, does it have to be a supporting character for you to think that the death's actually going to last, or can anybody come back?
Well, like the death in Blue Beetle at the last issue, they killed off the girl, Oracle. Blue Beetle had like a team of people who fed him information, a guy and a girl, and I don't know their names because they were never in the book really. But they killed off the girl, so it's like, okay, we'll never see her again really. So I believe she'll stay dead, but thought Barry Allen was a no-touch scenario, and then, you know, here comes Geoff Johns. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want, and I'll bring Barry Allen back, even though I love Wally or whatever. It's like, come on. Do we really need it?
Dude, I got it. Uncle Ben is going to be a Black Lantern.
Oh!
Cross-company crossover, man. Get ready for it. Oh, that's going to be sweet. All right, Brad. Your turn. Death in comics. What do you think?
It really depends if it's a supporting or a major character with me because, you know, there's some major characters that are still dead, like, say, the original Human Torch.
For now.
For now. I did see that.
But
usually
they were playing with his body. He could have come back.
He's an android. It don't matter.
I need to mention something since you brought up the whole Human Torch thing. That is the second fucking time that they have tried to weaponize his body. Second time. All right, and I didn't even know this until I read over the weekend. You remember that it wasn't originally a miniseries, but it turned out to be the series Live Wires that came out a few years ago. Adam Warren wrote it and like did like most of the art for it also. And in that very scenario, they steal the body of the Human Torch and they try to make a virus out of it. So this is the second time in like 4 years, 5 years in Marvel continuity that they've tried to make a freaking weaponized virus out of the Human Torch.
Give it to Doom. He'll do it.
All right. Fine. I'm sorry. But I'm cutting you off.
No, it's absolutely fine. But as far as supporting characters go, usually the death of a supporting character will lead into the motivation of the hero, a la Spider-Man, Daredevil with his Elektra dying every month. Just it all really depends on who we're talking about.
I like how every time Elektra comes back, she's wearing a different color outfit.
Very true.
That's how you can tell that she came back from the dead.
Yeah, because the Skrull was in the red outfit.
It's true. And then she went to the white outfit, and she's had that blue outfit a couple times. And
when did she get the orange one?
Oh, orange jumpsuit for Elektra, man. That's going to be hard to turn into one of those like half boob things that she loves to wear. All right. So what you're saying, Brad, is that supporting characters might very well stay dead, but if you're a main character, eventually you're probably going to come back.
Yeah, because I mean, if the main character is what dies, it's all a selling point.
Well, I mean, there are some occasions where you do actually stay dead, at least for most of the time, if you're a main character. Like for instance, memory serves that there were a couple of books where you think someone's the main character, and then give it about three or four issues, and big shock, they're dead, and then, oh shit, you gotta go with a new main character. You know, I mean, they could always do it as a swerve, right, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen very often. And one of the cases that I'll actually give to where the death stuck, would be Captain America, because, I mean, what, has it been 2 years now?
Yeah, just about.
I mean, come on, that's a pretty long time for a death.
Well, I mean, that's one writer on a story, but once someone else gets on a story, it's like no holds bars on the idea.
That's true. Yeah.
That is one of the things I do not like about comics these days.
Yeah, well, think about Thor. I mean, half the people probably forgotten by now that Thor was dead for a while. Because, I mean, sure, his book is good now, but...
nobody cares.
Well, hey, no, J. Michael Straczynski's run on Thor has actually been really good when it comes out. Cough, cough, cough. But, I think he was dead for, what, 3 years or something?
This is the thing with Thor, though. The way I've always seen it, he's a god. He's already dead. He's an essence.
Okay. So that would explain why he's able to come back as often as he does?
Yeah, if you're an essence, you can't really, you know, die and come back.
Yeah, but what about that, like, Batman guy?
He's a human.
Yeah.
Black Lantern?
Yeah. Quite possibly.
Speaking of coming back, we're going to have a shitload of them on our hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk Black Lanterns a little later on, but yeah. Like, okay, because then you go for those. Like, I mean, you're talking about like the main characters, like the icon characters and stuff like that. I mean, how do the companies even think that we're going to take a storyline seriously when they kill off an iconic character? Like Superman, for instance. I mean, did anybody really expect that Superman was going to stay dead back in the 90s?
I did.
Really? I didn't think they did.
I never thought he was dead. I mean, I was... God, what year was that?
93, 94?
Yeah, I was like 5 or 6. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's just in a coma.
you mean all those comics I bought are worthless now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can take that out of the, like, baggy and, you know, actually wear the special armband that came with it, Chad. Sorry, it's worthless.
Hey, that's why I want 3 copies of it.
I might need toilet paper one day, so.
Dude, I still have one wrapped up copy of X-Force number 1 with, like, the team card in it.
Oh, I've got, like, 18 issues of that.
Sweet.
You know, I bet in 50 years that might be valuable because everybody's making fun of them now and they'll just trash it. And then by that time, it might actually be worth something because there's none left.
You have a point. You do actually have a point there.
But you just have to keep convincing everyone to throw theirs away.
Everybody, throw theirs away.
Start hoarding them now.
All right. This just in, I just won a eBay auction for about 20 copies of X-Force number 1 for $20. So, guys, I actually just heard Rob Liefeld's going to live forever, so the book is never going to go up in value because he's never going to die.
You got to burn 15 of those.
Why am I talking about Liefeld so much? This is ridiculous. You know what it was? I was listening to Around Comics earlier with the whole Eric Larson interview, and I've got Image on the brain right now. But all right, so
are you sure it's not because of the Youngblood movie?
It's most certainly not because of the Youngblood movie. Thanks for making me.
No,
vomit.
Please, God. Is Obama gonna be toting a gun in the movie if it comes
no,
out?
No, but Brett Ratner's directing it.
Of course, Brett Ratner's directing it. I mean, who else would direct that? Seriously, who else would direct that?
Todd McFarlane.
You bowl.
Oh, God.
All right. But, yeah, anyway, going back to what I was saying, though, I mean, when you kill off an
icon. Who a bowl? Even Liefeld's got standards.
You know, Brent, that's the truest thing you've said on this 90th episode so far. Well done, well done. But, yeah, like, I mean, when you kill off a Superman, when you kill off a Batman, when you kill off a Captain America, when you kill off a Thor even, eventually they are going to come back because they're the cornerstones of the company. You know, I mean, you can play in that sandbox for a decent amount of time and, like, introduce a storyline like, oh, hey, it looks like Dick Grayson's going to be Batman now. Wow, hey, remember the days when Bruce Wayne was around? Bruce who? Dick is Batman now, you know, and then eventually Bruce comes back and they're like, hello,
I'm like, oh, you still got that Nightwing outfit handy, Dick? Because you're gonna need that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do they think we think about this, Brad?
Honestly, I think the companies think we're suckers because they know that we're going to buy it.
And do we?
Yes.
Then we're suckers.
Yes.
Hook, line, and sinker, buddy. Hook, line, and sinker. All right, Chad, please, enlighten us. Enlighten us. Death in Comics, your thoughts.
Let's see. When they kill off a character, then I expect a new number one. Mm-hmm. And then I expect about maybe 13 issues of that run until they decide to kill that character.
Okay.
And bring back the other character and go back to the original numbering. And then my OCD kicks in when I have to figure out how that's going to sit in my collection.
So I have issue 12 of Thor. Does that become before or after issue 600? I'm so confused. Well, was it a great two? Or like that? Didn't they just come out with like issue 600 of The Incredible Hulk when technically they're up to like 605 or 606
no,
at this point?
That's next. Oh, that's Thor next. Started
okay.
it.
Okay.
Then it's Cap, uh-huh. and then it's Hulk.
All right. And Spidey.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
So I think right now I have the 13 issues of the Bart Allen Flash sitting in between the, 242 of Wally West Flash and 243. Because that's where it goes in the story.
Yeah, I think the
You're
only...
absolutely right.
I think the only full series I have is Spawn 1 through 20-something whenever Gaiman left.
Well, I feel
Gaiman
bad.
Gaiman was only on for one issue, though.
No, he legally, he was on quite a few issues.
Legally?
Yes.
But Todd McFarlane doesn't do anything legally.
Please, buy Todd McFarlane's Return to Image Comics. All right, I'll stop talking about Image. All right, fine. But,
Yeah, that thing, whatever it was, did not look like a very good character. It looked like a Spider-Man.
I know, right? Did he redraw one of his old Spider-Man pinups?
That's what it looked like. It was in the exact same pose. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Well, and like you talk about restarts, man. I thought I would be okay with Ultimate Spider-Man because I have every issue of Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, I've been collecting it ever since it started, and now with this whole Ultimatum shit, where Spider-Man might be dead, even, and yet they're starting up Ultimate Spider-Man with issue one again.
Confused.
Yeah. Now, is
no, but it's Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it's different, not the same.
Wait. I cannot stand Ultimate.
You
at
cannot?
All?
Why?
At all? Mainly due to their raping of the X-Men.
Yeah. See, I this is the funniest thing about my collection right now. I have about 23 issues of Ultimate X-Men sitting waiting to be read one day when I'm bored.
Don't wait.
If it's the first issues, then read them. But if it's
the back issues, they're the back issues.
Yeah, the back. The back. I'd say 1 through 25 maybe are decent.
Yeah, I read them and they were great.
That's it. You know, everything else. Just wait for a cold winter day when you're out of firewood
and toilet paper.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, going back to what Chad said. So. Chad, did they do this just to really shake things up? I mean, is there really any substance to killing off a character that he says?
I think they do it to boost sales. Because, kill off a character. Ooh, it's a number one. People are going to buy because it's number one in there. You know, they'll think that it's going to be worth something.
But they're not even doing that with Batman.
Yeah, but, they're talking about doing that with The Flash.
True. But they will.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do it the first time with Wally, but, well, hey, I mean, who knows even with the...
Actually, they did when after Crisis on Infinite Earth.
That's
they
true.
When Wally became the Flash, they started with the number one.
Point well taken. Point well taken. Yes, yes, yes. But it's been so long now that, everybody doesn't even really think back then because, Barry Allen's not even dead anymore, so who cares, but...
Well, see, the thing is, each company has their character... They're characters that when that one dies, you know they're going to be back. Mm-hmm. Phoenix for Marvel and Flash for DC.
Wait, Phoenix? No. She stays dead. She stays dead for at least 3 months at a time.
Yeah, but still, she always comes back.
Yeah.
And then falls and trips over her powers and dies again. Then there's the characters that you never think will die, which will be Logan, and up until now, I thought would be Batman. Uh-huh. But nothing's confirmed about Batman yet.
Nothing is confirmed. And yet, okay, I'm not going to say much about, you know, the whatever happened to the Caped Crusader, because we're going to be covering it on the review corner eventually, but... You know, a bunch of people were saying that it's, like, not in continuity, that it's supposed to be, like, the last Batman story ever, blah, blah, blah. And now that I've actually read the full thing, that could very easily be in continuity with the whole, you know, Darkseid thing. I'll talk more about it later, you know, when we actually do the review corner for it, but...
Or you could take it as what it is and, you know, just say that it's Grant Morrison's acid trip.
Right, exactly. Well,
it's not Grant Morrison.
Yeah, it's not Grant Morrison, though. It's Neil Gaiman.
Oh no, I'm talking about the Final Crisis.
Oh yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
We don't talk about Final Crisis.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Now the Neil Gaiman book is just gorgeous.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's great. I mean,
granted, I have not gotten part two.
All right, well, part two is good,
and it finally came out.
Yes, it did. It did finally come out, which is also good. But there were reasons behind that, as usual.
Goody good.
All right. What characters would you say are off limits in comics when it comes to death? Like, I mean, what characters stay dead no matter what? And we'll start with Brad on this one.
You mean the ones that stay dead?
Yes, stay dead.
For Marvel, I would definitely have to say Uncle Ben.
Okay.
I mean, you cannot bring Uncle Ben back to life.
Yeah, you can do an alternate reality story if you want.
Whatever.
But that's it.
In 616, you cannot bring Uncle Ben back to life.
Okay. Because that invalidates Spider-Man entirely.
Exactly. And then Spider-Man will have another one of his emo trips and throws...
You wouldn't want to do that, like make him have a deal with Devil or anything, you know?
You know, it's the 90th episode of Comic Timing. Why don't we just bring that up? I mean, it's not like we haven't talked about it for at least 27 of these 90 episodes. I'm still loving Brand New Day, man. So am I. All right.
That brings up another character I wish they didn't touch, which would be Norman Osborn.
Ooh, yes.
I don't mind Green Goblin coming back, mm-hmm. but not Norman.
Well, it's kind of too late for that. He's sort of running the whole Marvel U.
Yeah, which that makes me happy. At least it's Norman.
One more Spider-Man character that I wish they wouldn't have ever touched, Aunt May, because that would have avoided this whole effing thing. Just have her stay dead the first time and not be some actress that got gene therapy.
Yeah, but now she's getting laid.
Yes, she would have never gotten laid by the J. Jonah Jameson Sr., which didn't exist until Mark Waid decided to
exist. She hasn't had, like, action in 20 years.
How do we know? She was with Doc. What? Doc Ock's tentacles, man. Enough said.
Maybe that was just too much for her.
Too much for her to handle.
So she blocked it out.
Oh, yeah.
There is another Spider-Man character that I do believe should stay dead, and that would be Kraven.
Okay. Yeah, that I'm in the camp for, certainly. Yeah, because that would yet again, we're in the invalidating point of the show. That would totally invalidate Kraven's last hunt.
Oh, which was a gorgeous story.
Love it. Love it so much. Yeah. DC?
Oh, God. DC. You talked about Revolving Door, and that's practically all of what DC is.
Wait, there's two that you know will stay dead.
Well, Thomas and Martha Wayne, and now Pa Kent, right?
Well, Thomas and Martha Wayne, we're not completely sure with the whole, you know...
No, they're dead. Damn it,
Thomas might
dead.
Not be.
That was the devil. It wasn't the dad. Yes. Whatever that means.
Yeah. We know we're talking about Grant Morrison when we say that wasn't Thomas Wayne. It was the devil.
There is one character that I do wish they would leave alone and let him stay dead, and that's Jonathan Kent.
Mm. Okay.
It's like every month I hear he's dead, he's alive. Oh, Yahoo News, Jonathan Kent's dead. What?
This just in.
He's alive again, isn't he?
No. He's still dead. He's still... Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me check the clock. No. He's still dead. He's still... Wait. No, still dead. Don't worry about it. You're safe.
Oh, Krypton should have stayed dead.
Krypton the planet?
Yes. His new Krypton shit pisses me off.
It's new Krypton. It's not old Krypton.
Yeah, old Krypton is still dead. That's still untouchable.
Yeah, it still pisses me off.
All right. When I'm thinking about it, a couple of characters that definitely should be untouchable should never come back. Number one, Daredevil's father. Okay? Because if for some reason, somehow, the somewhat inspiration for Daredevil came back from the dead, which wouldn't make any damn sense because it's not like he ever had powers. He was just a boxer. You know? If they ever decided...
Maybe he had super senses, but they weren't activated. But they were activated in his son once he got struck by that toxic chemical.
So what you're saying is that they both have X genes.
Yeah.
Mayhaps.
Please, I hope Joe Quesada's not listening to this episode. Please. Do not give this man ideas, all right? It'll just go to bad places. So yeah, he should definitely stay dead. I would say certain Hulk characters that should stay dead, but both of them are back already, so screw it. Thunderbolt Ross should have stayed dead the first time, but no, he's back. And Betty Ross should have stayed dead, but technically she's back, and no one ever mentions it. Because she was brought back at the end of Bruce Jones' run. Bruce Jones!
I don't follow Hulk enough to even know that Betty was dead.
Yeah, well, there you go.
What company is that?
Marvel.
Ooh.
What they don't cover on Raging Bullets.
Actually, well, I haven't listened to Raging Bullets in like forever.
See,
through one episode.
Dude, see, this is why podcasts exist. I work a job now 3 days a week where I do nothing but push boxes back and forth. All right. I basically box a bunch of books into a box, tape it up, roll it back and forth with barely any contact to any human beings. So luckily I have my MP3 player, and that's how I get through an episode of Raging Bullets, the end.
Well, they're all on my iTunes to be listened to. It's just I have them going back to like August.
Ooh. So one of these days you'll just stay up for 70 hours. And
that's right. And, you know, I work for the CIA, you know, as a state worker. Then I can sit at my desk and, you know, just listen to them.
Yeah, there you go. That works. But, all right, I'm trying to think of any other Marvel characters. And you know what? At this point in time, Phoenix should just stay dead. That's an untouchable character to me, because when you bring someone back, I know that her name is Phoenix, all right, the whole rising from the ashes thing. But when you bring someone back like five times and you still can't do anything interesting with the character other than kill her again.
Here's the thing, though. Phoenix can come back just fine, but leave Jean Grey's body alone. Phoenix take over somebody else.
So what, you want the Phoenix essence in like Emma or something?
No, I mean, like, I'd like to see the Phoenix essence in Vulcan like it was in that What If.
Oh, thanks for scaring me.
It's a bad mofo.
Yeah. All right, yeah, okay. I'll rephrase that then. Jean Grey should just stay dead at this point, all right? The maggots are in her eyes, and they should stay there. DC, when it comes to untouchable characters, other than the ones we mentioned... Well, I didn't know that Barry Allen's mother was dead, but, you know, I guess she is now, so I guess she should stay untouchable. I don't know. And yeah, Jeff Johns, I love you, man, but what
Black the Lantern.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Pa Kent to be at that Black Lantern, man.
Oh, he will be. Kill your father.
For DC, I would say the Graysons.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
Black Lantern still.
Ooh. Barbara Gordon's legs. Yeah, I went there.
Oh, God.
What? For some reason, I'm feeling extra snarky tonight. So we'll just throw that at there right there.
That joke was about as lame as FDR.
Oh, man. They should have a wheelchair race. All right, let's see.
You go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
Oh, so we can just put it back?
Yeah. Ooh, I got it. People who should just be totally untouchable. All the men in the Why the Last Man universe except for York. Even though Why the Last Man is over. And... Other than that, you know, there really aren't that many characters you can really consider to be totally untouchable because of how often people were brought back from the dead and stuff. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to say it. Wasp. Janet Van Dyne. Just stay dead. I don't want to ever see her come back.
Stay dead, you dumb bitch. Ant-Man can kill her.
You want Ant-Man to kill her? What, with a punch?
Yeah, exactly. Beat her to death.
Well, you are a horrible person.
That's the only reason I want an Ant-Man movie.
What, for the pimp slap?
Yes.
But honey, shut up.
All right. You know, there is one DC character they did kill off technically, but I really wish that they actually cemented it, and that would be Ted Kord.
Okay.
I really would have liked to see him stay dead because there's just too much secret stuff in the DC universe.
Especially after Booster Gold, we don't know if he's really dead.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Maximo Wertz should stay dead also. But all right, Brent, you got any untouchables?
No.
Chad?
Because you can all exhume them, and you can touch
them. I'm the horrible person.
I'm trying to think because, like, dying is more like a rite of passage in the DC universe.
It's just an excuse to get together and party with all the other superheroes.
That's true. It's like, dude, question, man. We haven't seen you in ages.
You haven't Unless died? Get out of the Justice League.
Unless you're Hal Jordan.
Yeah, but Hal Jordan's been dead.
Wesley Dodds, Sandman.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah. How about original Starman? Not to spoil Starman for anybody, but hey, sorry.
I've never read Starman.
Well, spoilers.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, all right. And how about, Chad, would you agree that the original question or whatever is untouchable, that he should stay dead?
See, I never really read a lot of stuff with him in it, but so far I'm liking Rene Montoya. We'll see how the backups and detective go.
Yeah.
Of course, Rocco's writing it, so it can't be. It has to be good, almost.
That's true, but yet again, you fall into that character that category of if people don't like the new one, then kaput.
Yeah, I want to ring in on that one. I'm a big Question fan, and as much as I like him being dead, because it actually brings something to the character. Oh, he's always into all these different conspiracies and knows all this, but he's dead and not around anymore. This whole passing of the torch thing just really kind of makes it a moot point.
Because the new one doesn't know anything?
That too. Or there could be the whole Rorschach's journal thing for Question being passed to her.
Well, that's okay, because if you want Rorschach's journal, just wait until Grant Morrison finally writes Multiversity. And you'll get that whole Question Rorschach's journal thing, because he's rewriting Watchmen, basically.
Eh?
Eh?
Yeah. If it ever comes out.
Yeah, that's true.
What happened to Batman Holy Terror?
We're not going to talk about that.
When he's ready, he's ready. We'll put it on the schedule.
Next question. Mr. DiDio, remember me from MegaCon? Yeah, next question. All right. Let's move on to characters that are untouchable, as in should never be dead in wherever, Marvel, DC, or other. And we don't really talk much other on this show, period. But if you have any others, please bring them up. Brent, we will begin with you.
Untouchable characters, I would just say Shadowcat, because you can't.
She's already dead.
You're trying to out-snark me, aren't you?
No.
That's just your mission this episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But she's dead, though.
Get real.
No. Well, she's actually not dead. She's just flying on that bullet.
Forever.
Unfazed in time. Any others other than Shadowcat?
I don't know. Can we phase him out?
Oh, my God. Come on, man.
What, man? I don't know. Who cares? They're all going to come back no matter what anyway. They don't really have a choice. You know they don't.
Yeah, it's true. I forgot to mention, by the way, Goliath should stay dead. Black
but
Goliath.
But he's Wasp now.
No, Black Goliath.
Oh. You said Goliath, not Black Goliath. Make up your mind.
Well, he's listed as Goliath on his hero click. There's no
That's not his name.
Well, yes, it is. It's just missing the prefix. The prefix.
Well, wasn't there some... What comic was it where... what was it? They dug him up and grabbed his femur bone or something.
Wait, what?
Is that Dark Adventures or something? I think like Norman Osborn dug up Black Goliath's femur or something.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure I read that, unless it was a crazy dream I had.
I could see that happening in this Dark Reign stuff.
Brent, I want what you're having.
For real, I think they dug him up and were like...
I've got to say, you know, that's believable, especially since the whole Loki Doctor Doom stuff.
Yeah, they're going to hook up.
Yeah, probably.
But wait, no, because in the most recent Thor, Loki talks about how he's abandoning the body for his original body. Then they should hook up. All right, you got any others, Brent, or should I move on to someone else?
Just move on.
All right, okay, all right. This is going to be the episode where, getting answers...
Episode
out of,
shorts.
Yeah. getting answers out of you is like getting water out of a steel drum that's been riveted shut. All right, let's...
Under the sea.
All right, fine. Chad... Please.
Characters that should never be touched,
yes,
or killed.
Well, no.
Animal
no,
Man.
They can be touched. They
little
can,
girls.
Yeah. Oh. Oh man, yeah. This is gonna
as long as you use the curb rule.
There's also a 5-second rule in effect. All right, come on, Chad. Come on.
Going back to characters that should stay dead. Jean-Paul Valley. Ezreal.
No.
See, I like the character, but they did the title. They basically rammed it into the ground. And it should have been like, you know, the history of different Ezreals. I guess kind of like sounds of what like Iron Fist is.
It was Iron Fist before Iron Fist. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have any that should stay alive?
I said Animal Man.
Oh, okay. All right. That's it.
Every time he goes out into space, it's like, oh. This is the time he never comes back.
That's it. Well, I mean, aren't you afraid of the last days of Animal Man?
I would actually be interested to read that.
I have it on my Heroes Corner order for the month, so I'll let you know how it is.
Why can't people use Animal Man? Seriously, I don't understand. He was great in Countdown to Adventure. Just because Grant Morrison wrote this series doesn't mean he invented the guy. Like... I don't understand.
Well, I mean, it's not like Grant Morrison is writing The Last Days of Animal Man, so I guess he must actually be open for anybody now. Is he?
Who? Grant Morrison?
Yeah.
I think he's doing some Vertigo stuff.
Well, oh, yeah. I'm talking Animal Man, though. That Animal Man, you know, used to be, if it wasn't Grant Morrison writing it, then no one could.
Rob Liefeld?
No. Stop bringing him up, damn it. All right, but yeah, I guess we're past that. But I mean, are you afraid that the Last Days of Animal Man miniseries is going to lead to the end of Animal Man?
But apparently that takes place in the future, so...
Welcome to the future.
It takes place in the year 2000.
Yes, I was going to say, poor bit. It will never live again.
But as long as there's an animal around and he can always, you know, go into the red and other characters that should be untouched. How about the remaining members of Young Justice?
Oh yeah. Chad, you are officially my hero.
Please don't make out with him.
No. God, please. I'm not that much into him, please.
Although spoilers, two are back.
Yay! And speaking of spoiler, where is she? Oh yeah, she's in Gotham.
I checked, she did come back.
Yeah, all right. So spoilers back, spoilers, and Secret. Where the hell is she?
I don't even know who the hell that is.
From Young Justice.
Secret.
She's so important, no one cares.
Let's see, Empress showed up in Final Crisis and Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's still around.
Arrowlet's retired.
Yes. She was in the Wonder Girl miniseries that happened recently.
Yeah.
So was Empress, for that matter.
Trying to think. The Goon Boy's probably still, you know, somewhere in under the water.
No, Goon Boy was in that Titans East one-shot, so he might be dead right now.
No, he might be dead. We don't know. They haven't done.
If you're in the Titans East one shot, you might be dead.
Yeah, what the hell was the damn point of that freaking one shot? Other than, like, we don't like these characters, you're dead.
I know, that's the only reason why I bought Titans, was because I thought they were going to, you know, continue that storyline.
Yeah, they did a really good job at that, didn't they?
And the art was really good, too. Love Ian Churchill. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So glad he can stay on a book.
You're funny. All right. Chad, do you have any untouchables? Oh, wait, sorry. Brad. Damn it. Too many similar sounding names on this damn show. Chad, Brad, Brent. Brad, Brad, Brad.
Right, hey, Brad. I didn't invite him on. You did.
Oh. Brad. Don't take Brent personally. He's like this to everyone.
Anyway, there are many characters I do consider untouchable, but they can be kind of grouped together into a class. To me, the comic universes are like a hierarchy. There's the humans, the metahumans, and the superheroes, the cosmic beings, and the existential reality dwellers, like the Endless. The Endless from Vertigo. Mm-hmm. A lot of the existential characters, like Sandman, Death, you could even put the Watcher in there from Marvel. I don't think that they should die ever. Because they're like, as in Marvel's The Watcher, they are the Watchers. They basically drag reality down the road it's supposed to go.
That, and there couldn't be arguments on how to pronounce his name. Uatu. Uatu.
Uatu.
Uatu.
They're just characters that are so that define the universe so much that they cannot be killed, even though they have killed the Endless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess along those lines would be what, the Witchblade in the Top Cow universe?
Top Cow still exists.
Yes. This just in, Top Cow is not dead. Like,
honestly, I haven't read Top Cow since maybe 94, 95, somewhere around there.
I was basically just throwing a bone to Vince B because I know he likes the Witchblade. But all right. Yeah, I guess you are right about that. Like, I mean, like, for instance, Spider-Man. You can depower him and put someone else in his place, but you can't actually kill Peter Parker.
Yeah, you can. Just stab him in the face with any kind of blunt object.
You do not like Peter Parker, do you?
Dude, I am so done with Spider-Man as of lately. Holy, it's like the same thing over and over.
But Aunt May's getting laid. It's a great comic book. If you're into that thing.
The only thing that will get me reading Spider-Man again, and I'm going to be hated for this.
Oh, fuck.
Is if they bring back Ben Reilly.
Okay, yes.
Gwen?
No, Ben Reilly.
I'm a fan of the Scarlet Spider.
I'm a fan of him, too. I'm a fan of him, too. I just don't think that they bring him back as Spider-Man. I think they bring him back as Ben Reilly, the amazing clone boy.
Spider-Man could get killed, and like, he could just come back as Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's kind of doubtful. Even from a Ben Reilly fan, I'd say that's kind of doubtful, man. So you're going to be waiting a while.
Yeah, I know. What? You know, until I'm writing the comics.
Okay, so this is even though... I mean, you do know what happened in, like, the most recent... Not most recent, but the past couple Amazing Spider-Mans, right?
The last things that I've heard about is him being sued by Jonah, him being sued by someone he saved... Basically, everybody hating Spider-Man.
Dude, J. Jonah Jameson is mayor of New York City.
I did hear about that.
I mean, that is a plot twist that totally sells me on the next, like, 12 issues of Spider-Man.
Yeah, here I thought that the major plot twist out of that FF arc was going to be that Human Torch finds out the identity. It's going to have to have an identity. Mm-hmm. But I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, neither was
I. Mainly because it came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, let's skip 2 months and really shake it up.
Yeah, but isn't that how the best plot, like, plot twists happen? They come completely out of nowhere and sideswipe you? I'll take that as a yes. Silence means yes.
Sorry, I'm distracted.
I could tell. What are you distracting yourself with this week?
X-Men Harry Legends, Jerry. Number one.
You know, I heard the tapping in the background, and I knew he's home. He's probably playing a video game while we're recording.
It's actually not me playing video games for once.
Keeping me awake. What do you want?
Were that goddamn interesting. Oh,
I read a fucking manual about E2D Hawkeye all day.
Yes, man. And now you're talking with friends, and that should be enough excitement to keep you awake until at least.
But I've only ever met one of you.
Hello. let's move on to one of the other questions that's a little related. And that
God. I can't get past the Morlock level in this fucking game. God, I hate the Morlock gods.
This is my heart bleeding for you, Brent.
You should, because if I were playing, I'd probably respond more. If I were winning, you know, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's I'm totally, yeah, all right, anyway. So.
You know what's sad when you play this game is that when you die, your entire team dies. Like, you die four times, just, like, amplifies the suck that much.
So what is there some sort of like evil mind link going on or something? You're all
no,
linked.
It's all your characters die. You got four dudes, right?
Yeah.
Come on, haven't you ever played one of these games?
Yes. I've played games like Ultimate Alliance where not everyone dies.
Yeah. If in Ultimate Alliance, if your character dies, you switch to somebody else. If that who you switch to dies, you switch to somebody else.
Yes, that's what's happening to me. Except all my characters die.
Oh.
Because these Morlock goths keep bringing back people I've already killed.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why you kill the shaman first.
I'm trying to do that. They won't fucking die.
Don't try, do.
Welcome.
There's like 10 enemies on the screen.
Welcome to the audio version of X-Men Legends: The Strategy Guide.
Did I tell you we're starting a different podcast?
Here we go. All right. When it comes to supporting characters, okay?
For a minute there, I thought you were going to count down in five.
When it comes to supporting characters, when does death add to a book and when does it subtract from it? Now, for example here, let's say a supporting character dies and it majorly affects the book. We're sad, major death, sad, wah, gets, you know, showed through the entire book. Then there's the death you barely even noticed because the writer/artist couldn't give a damn and wrote it back in the background because death is meaningful. Now, I'll give you an example. One that's still really pissing me the hell off. The character Brick, mafia boss in Green Lantern, in Green Arrow's world. And in Green Arrow Black Canary, not the last issue but the one before that, Brick gets about two panels of, yeah, there's a new problem here in Star City, you know, I'll find out what it is, and I'm going to get him. You know, we should all kill him. Wait, bam, and he's dead. After being one of the supporting characters, one of the main supporting characters of the book, through most of Judd Winnick's run, he's killed off in about two panels. It did not make me very happy. It didn't really add to the book much, because that wasn't even the point. So, when does a supporting character death add to a book, and when does it subtract from it? We will begin with Brad.
Well, really, a lot of the mainstay heroes, they are who they are because of death. You know, Peter Parker's got his Uncle Ben, and Batman has his parents. But then later down the line, the supporting characters that come in later, one of the ones that I would really have to say added to Wolverine's story would be the death of Yoriko, which, you know, they later said was, I think, Winter Soldier that killed her.
Yes.
That's one of the things that really drove Wolverine over the line down the years. And then now, I think that's who Dakin's mother is?
I think. I don't really know that much about Dakin because most of his backstory was told in X-Men, in Wolverine Origins, which I haven't read like an issue of.
I recommend it. I've read a couple issues of it. I'm pretty sure that that's who his mother is, and that's a big driving force right now in the Wolverine story, is the whole Dakin Wolverine father-son-daddy issues.
I'm actually looking it up right now just so we can find out what the hell this deal is.
No, I thought his mom was some other lady.
Well, let's find out.
That one I never heard of.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of other ladies when it comes to Wolverine.
Yes, Wolverine has been around for a very, very long time. All right, let's see what his mom is.
Human. A woman.
Son was a motherfucker.
Yeah, we don't actually know, I think.
Could have sworn it was Mariko.
Well, it keeps saying mother, 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 as opposed to actually saying a name. And after being cut from his mother's womb in 1946, and because his name is Akahiro.
Wait, yeah, which I makes have the no Wolverine sense files. Let me pick that out.
Okay.
That makes no sense since he looks Native American.
Yeah, isn't that odd? Well, that blame the art.
No, he's always, no matter who draws him, he looks Native American.
Well, blame the art. Really, I have nothing to say on the issue. I mean, I don't even really like the character much because...
I do. I think he's a real good addition to the growing stale Wolverine.
Itsu.
Itsu. Okay.
Itsu was his mother.
Oh.
Right,
1946 in Jasmine Falls, Japan.
Gotcha.
Japanese wife of Logan, killed by Winter Soldier.
Okay.
That was half right.
Yeah, so it wasn't actually Yuriko.
Moriko.
I thought she was Lady Deathstrike.
Yeah, Yuriko's Lady Deathstrike. Moriko's another wife. Itsu's another wife. Viper's another wife. That's an agent.
Sabretooth is another wife. I mean,
he's
I mean,
as bad as Hugh Hefner. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he sort of just throws them aside when he's done with them.
Silver Fox is another wife.
All right. Let's go back to the whole supporting character shtick you were talking about.
There's always the sidekicks that their death. Are pretty meaningful to an extent, like say the time that Robin died, that obviously doesn't exist anymore.
Yes,
but then they just rewrite everything and just
he did die. They yeah, just threw him in the Lazarus pit.
Is that how he?
No, Superboy punched the wall.
Yes, that is actually what happened. Superboy,
right, but
punched.
He was dead. He was in a grave.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he was undead. Bum, bum, bum.
Black Lantern.
No, but isn't Connor already alive?
Connor is already alive.
Then how's he going to be Black Lantern?
He's not.
Then why is everybody saying he is?
They're wrong.
They obviously haven't read the Legion of Three Worlds number 4.
Yeah, I saw that, but everyone's saying he's going to be a Black Lantern.
Everyone's wrong.
Like always.
Yes.
You just thought he was going to be a Black Lantern because he was in the Origins and Omens thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the Origins and Omens thing is.
It was a backup feature DC had a few months ago.
Everyone was wrong. Let's move on from this, please. All right.
Yeah, I was basically done, you know.
But yeah, all right. So death of a sidekick can be pretty interesting. Yeah, well, then there's also the whole... supporting characters that aren't even really supporting characters, that is, they're not the main characters of the book. Like, for instance, when Colossus died. You know, he was far from being, like, one of the important members of X-Men at the time, but he was still on the team. And him dying was actually pretty effective because it nullified the Legacy Virus back in the day. You know, of course, like many people, he got better. But, you know, at the time, his death was deep and meaningful.
You know, now that you say that point, Dream's End is one of my favorite X-Men stories.
Yes.
And it's not even Colossus's death that sticks out to me. It's Pyro's.
Mm. Yes.
Because not only did he sacrifice himself, but he was a villain and he died a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And he still hasn't come back to life.
He still has not come back. You're absolutely right.
And that's one of the things I've been stressing for a long time is if he comes back to life, make him a hero.
Well, he was for a while in the Ultimate Universe.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the Ultimate.
Yeah, I know.
And the movies.
And the movies, yeah. I think you just hurt his soul a little bit there, Brent. And when doesn't it work, Brad?
Whenever Grant Morrison writes it.
Oh. Come on, man. I mean, when doesn't a death... you know, add to a book, when does it subtract from it? I mean, it's pretty damn easy to say it, you know? I mean, because...
You know, the one instant that just comes right to mind when you say that is Batman with me, because that's one of the characters that, you know, we heard months and months and months before it was actually published that, oh, Batman's going to die. Batman RIP is coming out. Everyone knew he'd be back. It was a pointless story with, you know... probably going to have pointless problems down the line with it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. That's true, because Batman will be back because he's Batman. You know, when they kill off someone like Firestorm, it can stick because it's Firestorm. When it's Batman, there's never going to be a Firestorm movie, okay? Unless it's direct to DVD.
I'll make a goddamn Firestorm movie.
All right, fine. I'll wait.
Go ahead and set your hair on fire.
No, see, I don't know if I'm happy or not with Ronnie coming back, because I loved Firestorm growing up, because I watched Super Friends all the time just because of Firestorm.
Yeah, he's not coming back, though. He's a Black Lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know what they'll do with them after that.
Hold on. I don't think there's any way to redeem a zombie coming back and killing people. Like,
unless
Martian Manhunter comes back, I don't think it's very... I don't know. It doesn't seem very likely. It seems like once you pull the ring off or destroy the ring, they should revert back to dust.
Well, the way that I see this whole Black as Night thing happening is that it's not going to be the souls of the characters. It's just going to be Black Hand controlling their body.
Okay. All right.
Now,
so the souls are still out there.
Yeah. So a possible way to, you know, stop this whole thing would be like, hey, Sue, you and your husband, you know, you two ghost detectives, go find these souls, put them in their bodies.
Black Lanterns.
Yes.
No, if you read the Zero issue, then...
It's already been confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was the first to say that, like, months ago.
Ralph and Sue are indeed going to be Black Lanterns, according to Number Zero. But you're right, it could not be. It could just not be their souls. Now, if that's how they decide to bring back Ralph and Sue, I call foul, okay?
But wasn't Batman the only one that knew that they were, like, still alive, though?
Yes. Well, and most of the Outsiders. I think.
But most of the Outsiders are no longer Outsiders.
Also true. And they totally dropped that plot point once Chuck Dixon left.
But the thing is, I can't remember who I saw say this on one of the boards. The skull that Black Hand grabbed, everybody's saying is Batman's because it had this green glow in the eyes.
Okay.
That could be something left over from when he had a Green Lantern ring.
It's possible. That's very possible, even though he only had a Green Lantern ring for like 8 seconds.
It doesn't matter. It could have still, you know, left some kind of residue energy in him.
Yeah, point well taken, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Well, he also had a yellow ring, so...
Yes, he did.
True.
In fact, I think only Hal has had more rings than he has. Since Hal is eventually going to be Roy G. Biv Lantern.
He's going to be the White Lantern.
I can't wait to see him in an indigo ring.
I think it's a staff.
I don't care. Whatever. He's still going to be
a staff. Or does he grow like man boobs or something?
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That the Star Sapphire is the one that I was thinking of. He's going to be wearing a stripper outfit.
That's so disturbing. I'm questioning why you're on this call right now, Brad. That's just, oh, God. All right, next question. Bill O'Reilly Show. All right, come on. but all right, going back to, you know, more like what I was saying before. I mean, doesn't it cheese you off, though, when supporting characters are just, like, killed in one, like, freaking panel and never heard from again?
Well, it depends on who it is, because that's the thing about supporting characters is they're supporting. They're not always supposed to really be cared about like we do. Mm-hmm. Hell, Gambit, who is one of the most popular X-Men, he originally wasn't even supporting. He wasn't even supposed to be a good guy originally.
Well, actually, originally, the original concept was that he was going to turn out to be Longshot.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be a traitor also.
Yeah.
But fans liked him too much.
I still don't understand why.
Why people like him?
Yes.
He's Cajun.
He's badass.
Yeah, he has Cajun red glowy eyes and says mon ami.
Wow, because that makes him such a cool character.
Eh.
And he's a thief?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thieves are cool. But isn't it a pain in the ass, though, when characters are built up, and then, like, a new guy comes on and, like, bam, got him in one freaking panel and they're not even cared about?
Yeah, and I'm actually going to bring up Heroes at this point, because a lot of the characters that I cared about that were killed off were supporting characters. like Ted. He's just there and gone.
Yeah.
And that, I can completely see where you're coming from.
I don't even remember who Ted is. Holy shit.
Exactly. He was the guy with the radioactive powers.
Oh, that dude. Yeah, all right. Yeah, back in season one.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah, back when the show was good. Yeah, all right. I still watch Heroes, and I
love Heroes. Yeah. I still love Heroes.
Yeah, it's just not nearly as good as it used to be. So.
Never seen an episode.
You know, Chad, you're probably better off.
No, you should at least watch season one.
Yes, but then when he watches season one, he's going to then want to watch more, and we're going to have to tell him not to.
Not really.
I don't know. Come on, man. Isn't it a pain in the ass when they kill people off to be, quote-unquote, deep and meaningful? Like, hey, my arc just started. I can kill some people, and they'll be like, oh, no, C-list character number 4 is dead. That means that such-and-such is back in town. It's so pointless. I
mean, maybe if it's a 2-panel death, it's not meant to be meaningful.
So, a lot of the times, the people reading the book think that it should be.
Doesn't mean it's supposed to be.
And then we stop reading the book.
Then you don't get the writer's vision.
Sometimes the writer's vision is poo.
Hey, I've got no argument there, but still. It's the writer's vision. He's the one writing it. He wants death to be meaningful. He'll make it meaningful if he wants to.
I guess so.
I just want to know how Black Mask came back, because Catwoman put a few rounds in his head, and now he's back out of the blue and that's battle for the cow.
That's a new Black Mask.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. A lot of people have been saying that it's the old one, but I swear that Tony Daniel mentioned in an interview before even Battle for the Cow came out, there would be a new Black Mask.
Okay, how about the whole point? Last thing I heard about Catwoman, her heart was ripped out.
Yeah, she got better.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, she got better.
Yeah, no, they Hush took her heart out and had it on this like special ventilation machine, and she wound up
to fuck with Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn, I thought
Mr. Freeze
good.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze helped out or whatever. Yeah, I mean it was a fun arc and everything, but by the end I'm like, seriously, you're gonna rip out Catwoman's heart, really? And
put seriously, it back in her chest. I'm really pissed because I love the character of Hush, but I just have not gotten around to reading anything of him.
Oh, read the last like.
The only thing worth reading was
50 issues of Gotham Knights.
No, don't read that.
No.
Just read the Jeff Loeb and the stuff that Paul Dini did, because really that's the only stuff worth reading.
That's the original Hush story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then the Paul Dini stuff is the sequel. Because the Gotham Knights stuff never freaking happened. Seriously, though, that never happened?
You don't want to read that. It's like Joker rips out Hush's heart and stuff never is acknowledged again.
Yeah. It's actually out of continuity at this point. It was that bad. Like, as it was coming out, DC was saying, yeah, this never got published, but it's right there on the... Yeah, this never got published.
And there's, like, five Clayfaces in there, and it's
God. Anything with Clayface just pisses me off.
I didn't know there was more than one Clayface till I started reading that book.
Yeah, I knew there was, and it pisses me off. It's like every other one is a villain.
Are supporting casts made just to be cannon fodder, then?
Pretty much.
That actually is a very good point.
If they know Tim Drake.
You know, Chad, you went there. You had me on the, you know, don't kill any more Young Justice. Yeah, this guy's a nice guy. He's good. He's good. But if they know Tim Drake, oh, fuck, you went there.
Or if you know Spider-Man.
Also true. But then eventually you come back, so it's fine.
Yeah, but then you're some kind of clone, alternate reality, space being.
Alternate reality space monkey.
Or you're Madam Web.
Or you're Madam Web. But yeah, all right. Continue the point that you were saying about my point that, like, you know, are they cannon fodder from the start?
Yeah, that's a really good point because, God, if I was a writer, I'd just create 18 million supporting characters just to be like, okay, look, you want to kill some people, here's a whole, you know, group of people. Just pick and choose.
But isn't that the easiest way to get taken off a book? Because, all right, if you're not being creative, if you're creating characters just to, bam, kill them off like 5 issues later, what happens, you know, what I mentioned does eventually happen. The readers, we're not 100% stupid, okay? We might be like 80% stupid sometimes, but, you know, we are smart enough to know when shit is shit, and we, you know, we will leave a book and just stop picking it up, and it'll wind up getting canceled if stuff like that happens. Case in point, Checkmate. You know, when Bruce Jones came on a Checkmate and
that
started...
That never happened.
Yeah, exactly. That never happened. Because that, those are like five issues of Checkmate that pretty much have been, you know, completely blown from the record. He created a bunch of characters just to kill him off.
The Chimera.
You know? And most of society would wish that Bruce Jones would just stop writing. That's where we are right now.
Or give him an assignment to write and never just publish it.
Yes. Yes.
Keep doing it, Bruce. Well, you're doing a great job.
Really, if I was a writer and a character that I created was to be killed off, I honestly would feel kind of honored. Someone thought enough of my character to kill them.
Well, hey, I mean, McKeever thought that for a while when McDuffie killed off Gravity, even though eventually he came back and actually is now like more powerful than he was. But I remember reading an interview where, you know, Norton and McKeever were like, "Oh, they're killing off Gravity? Oh, did they at least do it good? Oh, it was a good story. All right, I guess we're okay with it." And then he came back, and they were happy.
Then you've got your 10 years later, so and so comes back to this title, and you bring back that character.
Ooh. And their name has like 7 X's in it, and they're carrying a gun. And they're wearing sunglasses, and they've got, like, long brown hair.
Johnny Blaze?
Sometimes it's Nomad.
Yeah?
I'm still convinced eventually Nomad's just going to, like, walk back into a Captain America comic and just be like, "Hey, guys. Wait. Weren't you? Yeah.
Well, he is Nomad.
That's true.
It's his name.
Chad, are they created just to be cannon fodder?
I think most of the time they are. I think I remember when Mia was created for in Green Arrow, I thought, you know. And then, well, once it turned out she had HIV, I was like, okay, she'll be, you know, gone in a few issues, and I guess she's still around.
This week on a very special episode of Green Arrow.
That was Judd Winnick's, "Oh, we got to have a character that, you know, either has AIDS or..."
STDs make all comics better. Look at Daredevil.
Three things, man. Three things. You're gay, you're lesbian, or you have AIDS. Oh, or you're Asian.
What, to be killed?
No, to be Judd Winnick.
Oh. So I was going to say, if you're talking about characters that are going to be killed, all you got to do is be a girlfriend of Matt Murdock.
Or Kyle Rayner.
No, then you're not just killed. You're stuffed into a refrigerator.
That only happened once, okay? All right.
Yeah, sure. But it's the one that sticks out. Yeah.
I mean, sure, that's one more time than most people's girlfriends have been stuffed into a refrigerator, but still.
Didn't Major Forces, like, try and stick his mom in a fridge?
No, it was the oven.
I forgot about that.
And it was a total fake out, and Major Force's response was, "You should see the look on your face."
Donna Troy got better.
Yeah, and eventually Jade's going to get better from the looks of those, you know, Origins and Omens previews that were in Green Lantern Corps. Either that or Black Lantern. Yes.
I've never even really understood who Donna Troy is.
Neither does she.
Even though there was an entire book titled "Who Is Donna Troy?"
I mean, is she the daughter of Wonder Woman?
No.
The clone of Wonder Woman?
I think
Woman?
She's supposed to be like her twin sister.
Yeah.
Is it a soap opera now?
Yeah, as the Wonder turns. Brent.
Hi. As the school bus turns.
Yes. What's your dealie with supporting characters?
They make books fun to read.
until they get killed?
I think he's our supporting character tonight.
Basically, I have a feeling that by the end of this thing, your PS2 or whatever the fuck it is just going to come flying at you.
You're going to will it to come flying at me through the internet?
Yes. Yes, damn it.
Because it's not hooked up to the internet.
I have those powers. I have those abilities. But
I don't know. Characters are meant to be killed whether they're supporting or main or whatever. I mean, it's just the nature of the game. If they didn't die, it wouldn't be very interesting now, would it?
Yeah, but with too many deaths, it makes it uninteresting.
just space them out. One, at, you know, once a year, once an issue, whatever you got.
Once an issue. Yeah. That's
it's
great.
Your turn to die at this issue. Okay.
Yeah, but still, if it's
maybe there needs to be a book where there's like a line of wannabe sidekicks or supporting characters in this one character's life. He's a superhero. He's like, all right, I need a new sidekick. It takes him out on a mission. Kills. Next. You could just kill one, every one, and may have it a meaningful death.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get that in Ambush Bug number 6 if it ever comes out.
It's apparently sitting on Denadio's desk.
Right.
He just doesn't want to let it go. It's so good.
Yeah, he's making out with it right now. He just licked the cover.
You know, I know you're gay. Yeah. You pictured in the licking covers.
Yet again, bringing back the Comic Timing classic. That's how we know it's been 3 years, man. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Didn't this happen once? I could be remembering this wrong here, but didn't Ms. Marvel die one issue and then like come back to life the next?
Like 8 times?
Wait, I thought she was dead. I thought they killed her recently.
Not the current death. I'm talking about a previous one.
But is she really dead?
Yeah,
because she's still alive in New Avengers.
New Avengers hasn't caught up to it yet. You know, due to the lovely timeline of the Marvel Universe.
But she will die?
Yeah, I think.
How did she die exactly?
Oncoming bus. So. I haven't read the issue yet, so I can't tell.
Well, how do you know?
Wait, how do I know that she's dead?
Because yes, how do you?
Because the internet's told me so.
Well, you just ruined the book. Why'd you give Rav your $3 back?
Well, no. See,
the opposite of that. Get your $3 back from Rav.
Yes.
You just ruined the book.
Yeah, I ruined it. I ruined it. Sorry. I don't actually know what the hell's going on. I just know that she's dead. She's probably dead.
To answer your question, I think she did. I think one time she died as Ms. Marvel and came back as Binary.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Thank you.
It's like, oh my god, I'm a computer now.
That's not what Binary was.
I wasn't done getting this episode back on track, or keeping it off track.
Go ahead, Brent.
I wasn't done. I just wanted to say that.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
But I totally lost my train of off track. The off-track train is now off-track, so you can get the on-track train back on track.
Everybody give us your favorite comic book deaths, and then we'll go from there. We're going to go back to you, Brent, because I like hearing you talk.
You got a pretty voice.
You got a pretty mouth.
The off-panel deaths and the Secret Six thing that I haven't read yet, it just sounded really funny, though, so I'll use that as my favorite.
Wait, what?
The off-panel deaths in Secret Six, what is it, like number 8?
Oh, you mean the deaths of Sean Whalen and Jim Segelin?
Yeah, I'll call those as my favorite, even though I don't read Secret Six.
Yeah, I was very sad to hear that they were dead. Because, again, I only get my news from comic books, so...
Black Lanterns.
They would like that. That would make them happy.
Jim, answer the phone. We're Black Lanterns.
Hey, Sean, that's what totally talking high voices.
I'm dying here. I'm fucking dying here.
That's what this episode is meant to do.
What, kill me so that no more episodes can come out past 90?
Yes.
Me and Raph will carry on.
Because if you notice, my podcast initials is also CT. We're taking over your domain.
Oh. You got to start over with a new number one and a hologram cover.
Awesome. Can I come back with pockets and guns?
If you want.
And you've got to have a set of cards.
Ooh, sweet. Oh,
we do have cards. I got some.
Can my name be misspelled horribly? like
Ignani? So you'd have the at symbol where your A is.
Yeah. And could it be like XX with XS with like 4 X's and 3 X's at the end.
E at symbol XS. then an upside down V with a V.
Okay, I'm not talking leet speak here, man.
Hey, that's horribly misspelled.
That is true. Give me some of your favorite deaths in comics, Chad.
I'm going to go with the Flesh and Blood issues of Animal Man. I believe that's, even though it's been a while since I've read it, I believe that's when he first discovers the red. And you're like, wow, he just got, in the first issue, he gets hit by a car and like there's his body parts are laying all over the road. And you're going, okay, I really like this book. I would have to say probably Ollie Queen's death in Green Arrow, handcuffed to a bomb in a plane, and Superman can't do anything to help him.
Superman's like, no, I'll never see Ollie again.
Don't want to get any of them on my cape, so you know.
Oh, dude. Oh, you got Ollie on your cape.
Oh, man. Dry cleaners won't even clean that shit.
Well, apparently, you know, Superman doesn't get clean his uniform clean very well, because isn't that where Hal Jordan got the stuff to bring him back?
Yes.
It's like, you need to find a better dry cleaner.
Yeah, well, those Chinese dry cleaners in Metropolis just really don't get the job done.
Either that or Lois is not pulling her weight around the house.
A little bit of A and a little bit of B.
What other? Let's see. How about Christmas Allen in Gotham Central?
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since it was, you know, by a guy whose name is the same name as the first Spectre.
Yeah. Irony.
Yeah, I love it. Well, some of my favorites. Okay, before I say one of my favorites, does anybody mind if I give a spoiler for Fables?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
All right. Well, I can't believe that Vroom Vroom died. All right. I'll just leave it as that. Or you can just not listen for a minute, Chad. All right.
Insert
fine.
Name here.
All right. Are you good, Chad? Are you not listening?
I'm okay. Not listening right now.
Okay. Good. All right. Good. Well, when Prince Charming. God damn it. Let me say it, damn it. When Prince Charming. Prince Charming.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's me stabbing him in the gut.
Okay, good. Alright, fine. Fuck it. Chad, you can listen.
What? Snow White and Bigby's kids all die?
No, not Bigby's kids. So yeah, I found that really interesting. Other deaths that were really cool. Well, even if it won't last, Captain America's death was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, especially that it has lasted for a while.
Yeah, I know. I think that Black really Lantern. Does make it. Yes.
Honestly, when it happened, I gave it 3 months.
Yeah, and it's lasted a lot longer than that.
Thank God.
Yes, I agree. Other deaths that I've been really happy with. Ted Kord. I mean, that was
quote
really,
unquote.
Yes, quote unquote. When it happened, I was like, oh shit.
And shit's going down.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of glad when Martian Manhunter died.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you never that big a fan of him?
Never that big of a fan. It's like, yes, he's gone.
So, I was surprised when he died.
So that was a two-panel death you were happy with?
Yes.
Okay.
Kill him again!
Brent, over and over and over.
Over and over and over. Brent, were you trying to say something, or was that you off mic?
Instead of when Ted Kord died, it went, ooh?
Ooh?
Yeah, Ted Kord overdosed on that Maxwell Lord headache medicine.
Advanced medicine for pain.
And you know, do you know how hard brain is to get off of, you know, the floor?
Or leather shoes.
Or leather shoes,
yes. And we're back to Chinese dry cleaners again. My God, it's cyclical in nature, man. It's cyclical. Son of a bitch, there was someone else that I was going to bring up. And now, because we're being, you know, jackasses, I can't actually remember what the hell I was going to say.
Barry Allen.
No, not Barry Allen.
Of course, he's come back a few times in the, you know, Flash, with the Wally West series, but he was like always an alternate timeline.
See, the thing with Flash is I love every single time Flash dies because that just tells me that something's about to happen big in the DC universe.
Yes, and Infinite Crisis, no Flash dies.
Therefore, it wasn't big.
I guess.
Well, technically, they never knew what happened to Wally.
Yeah, right, you got a point.
Is it Wally that just came back?
Not too long ago, yeah.
The Rebirth series, is that Wally?
No, that's Barry Allen.
Oh, Barry Allen.
Yeah.
There's so many Flashes, I get confused. Yeah. You know, at least with Green Lantern, you can tell who they are.
Now I remember what I was going to say. Speaking of Green Lantern, one of my favorite deaths was actually the death of Parallax in Final Night.
Or Hal.
Yes, or Hal. Yeah, but that was a great death. I mean, sure, he came back, but Final Night was just a great series. I enjoyed that a lot.
I really agree with you there. That's one of the best deaths I've seen DC handle.
Yes. Cause
especially, the scene in Blackest Night Zero where they bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that no one was at his funeral.
Yes.
Hold on. Nobody was. Yes, they had a service for Hal Jordan.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Because
that was like the most out of character moment for Batman. It's like, Hal Jordan, I never agreed with him, but he was an all right guy, I guess.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, I remember it happening. And yeah, that's another case of Geoff Johns rewriteism.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, oh well. I mean, he even had a memorial.
Yeah.
In Coast City before they rebuilt it.
There was
a Green Lantern memorial. Okay, you know why I know this? Because the first Green Lantern comics that I ever read were the Emerald...
Emerald Knight?
Yeah. Well, wait, not Emerald Knight. Emerald Allies?
Dawn?
Emerald Dawn, maybe? Well, wait, which was the one where Kyle goes back in time, finds Hal, and then brings him back to the current?
I want to say Dawn.
Okay. Well, that's when, you know, Hal visits his own gravesite. And it's in Central City. It's this great, like, this huge Hal statue with, like, a green flame and everything. And
that's not supposed to be. He's supposed to have just, like, a little headstone. It's supposed to be all kinds of desecrated, spray painted, and all kinds of shit.
No.
Because, like, the promo for that issue is, like, all the heroes are holding, like, a green flame.
Yeah, because he had redeemed himself at the end of the Final Night. Everybody agreed. Even Batman.
I don't remember that, so.
Well, just because you didn't remember it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
It's like Green Lantern 50 or something like that. 51, 52.
Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean you won't remember it.
I'll have to dig it out.
Yeah. Oh, and I also like that time that Deadpool died. Oh, wait, Deadpool never dies.
Exactly.
Why is he getting a second series?
Because Deadpool's honestly awesome.
Because Deadpool's big right now, probably bigger than he's ever been. And I'm a fan of Deadpool, and I'm not picking up the second series.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm sorry, but no. When the main plot of the first six issues is Deadpool running around with a zombie Deadpool's head. I mean, that sounds like
that is awesome.
Yeah, it sounds awesome, but it also sounds like something that I don't know. Like, it almost seems too absurd.
So that was actual 616 universe that Zombie Deadpool jumped to in Marvel Zombies 3?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually didn't read. Wait, was Marvel Zombies 3 Kirkman or was that Van Lente already?
I'm not sure. It's the one that had Machine Man.
All right. Yeah, that's Van Lente. All right. I stopped.
That's the reason I read that series, because Machine Man is awesome.
I stopped reading Marvel Zombies after Kirkman left the series. And you know,
I can understand why.
Yeah. Well, that, and, you know, by then it was like, oh, wow, another zombie series. Yay.
Hey, this one's got the Midnight Suns.
Yay. Matt Damon. Yay. Who hasn't said their favorite deaths yet?
Ooh, me.
Why, I believe it's Brad's turn.
I actually have a few. One of them, probably the main one I already talked about, which would be Pyro. You know, he died a hero, and that's really respectable in my book. the whole redeeming. And you just talked about how Jordan's death, which they completely changed in my point of view. One that sticks close to me, and I really hate to say that it does, is when Bullseye killed Elektra.
Very iconic image.
Yes, the whole Psy going through her. You know, I mean, it's Elektra, she's going to die. But still, that's just one of the deaths that really stuck close to me. Also, because I was a kid when I read that. That was one of my first experiences with death in comics, besides Superman, which wasn't really death.
That was more like a long sleep.
Yeah. Hibernation.
He needed a few days off.
Yeah.
Like Manny Ramirez.
Oh. And you know, when that happened, I just thought to myself, Raph picked him in fantasy baseball.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
And I'm just going to throw this out there. It's not really comics, but I'm going to, you know, put this in there with comics. The Venture Brothers, every single time they die, I love it. It's just so funny.
Dude, I want there to be a Venture Brothers comic.
I want there to be a next season.
There is. Yeah. No, it's already in the works.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, in fact, it should be out no later than the beginning of 2010.
Oh, thank you. 2010.
Yeah. That's weird. I don't know what the hell to call anything once that happens. I mean, technically, there's a zero before the 10, so what are we
going to... I'll just call it 10.
10.
10. Yeah, that's it.
10-10.
10.
A-O-10.
All right.
After Obama.
We've mentioned a lot of deaths, and we've mentioned a lot of event deaths. Actually, one of the ones that we haven't mentioned, and one that I'll mention as one of my favorites that I forgot about for a minute, the original Supergirl's death at the end of, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
Which was very, very powerful.
Very very popular cover to Abe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who Supergirl is now, so.
There's
Power Girl. There's like 8 clones.
Yeah. Actually, no. Chad had the best answer. Jailbait.
Oh, okay.
Remember that, kiddies. Wow, she looks pretty.
Even Hal Jordan had to control himself.
Oh.
Is Hank Henshaw dead right now?
Is he? I don't know. I think he is for now.
For now.
Or he might just be deconstructed, as in I think his conscious might still be out there.
Because
at the end of Sinestro Corps, I know that he wanted to die. I'm just not sure if he actually got to get what he wanted.
No, because at one of the last panels was him floating out in space, and wasn't there like a tear going down his face because he was still alive?
Yeah, Hank Henshaw doesn't cry.
Well, in that case, maybe it was just moisture.
Yes, it was moisture in space.
Yes.
I think he's still around.
Yes.
Black Lantern.
God,
I was waiting on that.
Well, actually, you know what I want to see come back to life? The original Supergirl's headband.
What?
That thing had a life of its own. But, all right, so yeah. So, do deaths increase the importance of line-wide events? And this one...
No.
Wow. So I guess Brad's going first.
I'm absolutely sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
No, because now, God, summer events like Secret Invasion and this Black Lantern thing, they're huge right now.
Yes.
And we all expect someone to die.
Yes.
Multiple people to die.
Yes.
I would, you know, be more shocked if someone didn't die.
Well, in House of M, instead we got Hawkeye back.
Which was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. He basically walks on screen.
It's like, that's
what was amazing about it. It's like, yeah, remember that whole propeller thing? That was Scarlet Witch working her voodoo.
Yeah, see, I would say that House of M is one of my favorite events. And a lot of it does have to do with there wasn't really any death in it.
Mm. Except for the death of the mutant race.
Nah, that's more of just an aftermath kind of deal.
Okay. All right.
Their whole body's not being used to not having powers.
So you'd be perfectly okay with there being no deaths whatsoever in a line-wide event?
Exactly.
understandable, because then it's just shock and awe.
Yeah, I mean, the whole I think it was Civil War where Thor came back.
Yes. Oh, wait. No, technically that was Klor. That was Klor. Clone Thor.
Oh, whatever. But still, I mean, that whole it was either Goliath or Hercules that got hit with the thunderbolt of his resurrection.
Yes. It was Black Goliath.
That's retarded.
And so is the name Black Goliath.
Yeah, pretty much. But still, it's retarded. I mean, that's just killing people just to kill people. Yeah.
Although, you know what was also really retarded? And, you know, this is something that was brought up on Comic Timing before. The fact that they couldn't even organize themselves enough to have his death be consistent. Because in Civil War, it was through the chest. And in Civil War Frontline, it was a lightning bolt from above.
What I could have sworn that it was just somewhere in the background of a panel.
No, it was front and center.
Centerpiece.
Yep. Yeah, you saw the gaping hole. And they couldn't even shrink him back down for the funeral. They're like, oh, no, pin particles don't work that way. I'm like, since when? You just really wanted to make a really big hole in the ground.
Wait, was that Hank Pym?
Yeah, well, it was technically Hank Pym. Hank Pym saying that he couldn't shrink anybody down.
Oh, no, I was Hank asking Pym. If the character was, if no. Black Goliath was Hank Pym. I was like, wait, what?
No, Black Goliath is Black Goliath. African-American he's Goliath.
Afro-Goliath.
That's why
Goliath.
I was wondering, because you mentioned Pym particles. I was like, wait, since when is Hank Pym black?
Well, that's how Goliath grew, via Pym particles.
Yeah, I understand that. It didn't click at first.
Black Goliath. Not White Goliath.
If you called him White Goliath, would that be racist?
No, because Black Goliath is totally not racist.
It all depends on the costume color.
Yeah, that's true. Although, hey, wait, Black Goliath had white streaks in his costume.
Bum bum bum.
He was multiracial. All right. So now that we got Brad's answer, let's turn to the guy who loves to talk. Brent.
Hi. Yes?
Would you like to answer the question at hand?
What is the question?
The question is, does a death add to line-wide event? Blah, 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 blah.
Does the death add to a line-wide event?
Do deaths increase the importance of line-wide events?
La, 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 la.
Man, you are so loopy right now. Go ahead, come on.
I would say that they think they do.
Okay, but they don't actually?
Not really. Because we know dead is not dead.
Unless it's dead.
No, not even.
So dead is not dead even if it's dead?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Your hair and nails still grow.
But he's not dead unless he... So, Brent, basically, you're, like, writing off the whole deaths and line-wide events thing?
Yes.
All right, cool. Are you writing off line-wide events?
Yeah, no. Because I'm interested in Blackest Night. But it's like they killed Flash. Nah, not really. Mm-hmm. They killed Superboy. Nah, not really.
Mm-hmm.
They brought both of them back. Honestly, I could have done without either of them.
But
they mishandled Bart.
Yes.
And now he's back to Kid Flash. And it's like... Why the fuck?
But they killed Connor due to legal reasons.
Yes, but his death meant something in the book.
I know.
And something in real life.
Yes. It was a doozy. Well,
but now it doesn't mean anything.
You're totally right, though. I mean, okay.
Sales.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Superboy, but him coming back from the dead completely lessens the impact of Infinite Crisis.
I stopped being a Superboy fan when he dropped the bowl cut and leather jacket.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, I grew up on the Reign of Superman.
Yeah, well, so did I.
I like the Reign of Superman. I'm sticking behind it.
Dude, that was actually one of the first DC trades I picked up. Because back then, there weren't that many trades, and they had the full Return of Superman trade available. And I still have that on my bookshelf to this day. It was like one of the first things I ever read DC-wise, and that was really fun. Plus, I had picked up random issues on like on the street and stuff of the whole Reign of Superman thing. But Limewide deaths are not exactly important, like, ever. Agree, Chad?
Yes. You know, going into a crossover, you're like, so who's it going to be this time?
This time it's going to be D-Man.
That's right. I think I was trying to think, even when DC was doing, like, the summer events, the Underworld Unleashed and Genesis, you know, even, I mean, I think that was a chance just to kill off, well, Zero Hour was a chance to kill off a bunch of B characters.
Yes, yes.
That was our chance. Was. Kill them off. No.
And like half of the JSA.
True. And try to make some sense out of Hawkman.
Yes, yes, which they did a wonderful job of.
Yeah, I thought both of them were dead.
Well, okay. I was just listening to Raging Bullets, the most recent episode, like today. And in that, they're talking Blackest Night number zero. And even Sean goes, I'm confused here. I thought Hawkman was dead. And this is coming from Sean, okay?
Well, no, I thought he, like, didn't he, like, come... No, because it was, what was it? Justice League of America.
Yeah, like Hawkgirl is like...
Superman, yeah.
My legs.
Roy is in the cemetery.
Yeah, I know.
And he's talking about how Kendra is in the hospital recovering, and he's not going to be the one... pick him up, but it's going to be Carter.
Yeah. My favorite
just came here because I wish she was dead, dumb bitch.
Well, no, my favorite part was, what are you doing here? This is a park that Kendra and I used to love going to. And he's dressed in a suit, and it's a cemetery. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. So they used to love going to visit the cemetery.
Hey, different strokes for different folks.
You can take my slot.
You know, she has, you know, she does have that whole, you know, Egyptian, you know, resurrection background. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, maybe all of her past selves are buried in the same place or something. Right. I don't know.
Just let Dwayne McDuffie write the book.
That would be nice. You know, I'm this close. I'm going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this year. I'm this close to actually... saying that at the DC Nation panel, just raising my hand and going, can you just do us all a favor and let Dwayne McDuffie write Justice League of America? And they'll be like, but he is writing it. I'm like, no, I mean write, not write.
Not telling him what to write.
Yes, yes. Not giving him plots. I mean, so to finish your point, Chad, on the whole importance thing.
Yeah, not important because these days it's expected.
Yeah,
and I agree that I would like to see, you know, a major event where nobody dies, except yeah. for at the end where like somebody just like coughs and then gets the flu.
Not the swine flu.
I mean, they make it through like the big fight and then, you know, like they like, trip and, you know, fall off a cliff or something.
Dude,
death
fight flu. Yeah.
It kind of another question going in with that is.
Go ahead.
What is a character that you think that their death would have a high impact on the universes?
Now, is this a death that sticks or a death that doesn't?
Yes, a death that sticks.
Okay, a death that sticks.
This is a trick question.
I yeah, because he's making us think. What?
Exactly, I'm making you use your brain power.
Son of a bitch. You know,
I need to feed my machine.
Let me go into the Fables universe and then I'll go out of it again.
Please do, because I've never read Fables.
All right,
I don't even know what it's about.
It's about Fables. Fables. Yeah, that's.
I kind of gathered that.
And Brad, please read Fables.
If I get money.
No. Don't give me that shit. You live in New York. Oh, you don't. Never mind. All right. Where do you live?
In Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Do you have a library?
They don't carry comics.
At all?
At all.
Wow, you suck. Okay.
It is the South.
Yeehaw.
True.
Well, fine. Get Leroy to send you his Fables.
That I shall do.
Good. All right.
I tried that with what's his face one time, and he never sent it to me.
Who?
Raph.
Raph.
Well, me and Leroy send each other stuff all the time. So.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, get him to send you Fables. I mean, I have the first couple volumes here, but you know,
that was bad.
That was pretty bad.
Stereotyping aside,
but okay. But anyway, just going there for a minute.
Brad's like, I'm never coming on this show again.
Brad's not going to understand this particular one. But if they ever kill Bigby Wolf, the Fables universe would never be the same. You'll know that better once you actually start reading it. Marvel, Professor Xavier, if you make it stick.
I disagree.
Really?
Everyone hates Charles now.
Okay. Wolverine.
He has...
yeah.
Yeah, he kind of shapes everything.
That was my second choice. So.
Marvel files for bankruptcy.
Yes. Marvel files for bankruptcy. Cites stupid idea to keep Wolverine dead.
Dumbass.
But really, I mean... Brad, I mean, come on, give me this much. Killing Wolverine would affect, like, half the Marvel line.
Oh, I just said that. I said he shapes everything.
Yes. Oh, I just thought you meant with his claws.
Oh, yeah.
DC, I'd say a death that would really affect everybody would be...
Lex Luthor.
You know, yeah, actually. Good call. Chad says Lex Luthor. I agree with that. My pick would be Alfred. I'm serious.
I'm sorry. I see where you're coming from. I just did not expect that.
Well, that's what I do. I go for the ones that no one expects. No, because think of the effect that he's had even on Battle for the Cal. You know, he's the last bit of support that the Bat family has. Plus, he's the one that put the Outsiders together when Batman wasn't there. So it's like taking Jarvis out of the Avengers. You know, even though there really aren't that many Avengers right now, Jarvis is still a member of one of the teams, and that says how important he is. But
or making him a computer house,
right?
I mean, who would bring Dick and Tim their milk and cookies at night?
Yes,
I would.
Well, I agree with Alfred, because you know he does. You know, he not only is he like the confidant, but he also patches them up when they're.
And
hurt.
And think of how much of the DCU knows him, too.
That is true. Going with the Bat family, I'd really say Barbara would be a big nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I swear if they bring her legs back to life, I'm going to be really pissed.
Oh, I was never paralyzed. I just thought I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
What's this? I couldn't get my lazy ass out of my chair?
When they brought Spoiler back, I thought she was gone for good.
I didn't even know she was gone till she came back.
Yeah, so the Black Mask tortured her and, you know, supposedly killed her during War Games. And then it was like the old, when she was brought back, it was the old switcheroo that she wasn't really dead, but they made everybody think she was dead and she went off with Leslie to Africa.
Plus, it also redeemed Leslie Tompkins in the same aspect. Yeah, which is good, but
who was never supposed to set foot in Gotham again?
Yes,
of course. Batman is dead, so you know.
Yeah, until she does. Anyway, you got any Marvels you can think of, Chad?
No.
I know you don't read Marvel. That's why I had to ask.
No. Howard the Duck.
There you go. Okay, that'll be really effective. All right. Well, Brad, do you have answers to your own question?
Yeah. The for Marvel, I would really have to go with Magneto. Huh. Imagine the uprising that would happen. Not only if he was just killed by someone, but even if he just like died of old age.
So, if he just drops dead of a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, I could actually see that happening.
Gear but mad fraction.
But really, I mean, that could be a huge blow to the mutant community, especially on a political level.
No, I hear you. Yeah, because, I mean, even now, he's involved with the whole trying to get mutants their powers thing back. So
yeah, I mean, you know, they also at some point need to pick if he's good or bad.
Eh, he's both.
It depends on who's taking over his body.
Right. Or if you're Joseph. All right, let's not get into that.
Or Zorn.
You got a DC one?
I do have another Marvel one, though, and that would be Cyclops, Scott Summers. Because as much as Logan shapes the Marvel Universe, Cyclops shapes almost everything X-Men related. I mean, he's their current leader.
Yeah, but he could be replaced.
Yeah, just throw in one of his brothers, but it wouldn't be the same because they don't have the same mentality as him.
It would be better.
I'm a Cyclops fan.
Wouldn't there be a whole lot less whining?
Wah, mutants don't have their powers. Or better yet, wah, my kid brought the other kid into the future. Wah. Okay, I'm done.
You got a baby? It's a boy.
You have a collect call from Paul. We had a baby. It's a boy.
Good night, everyone. And that's our show.
For DC, I don't really know where you could go with it, but if Joker died.
Whoa. What the hell do you do after that, man?
Exactly.
Throw him in the Lazarus pit.
Bring Black Lantern.
I don't think that would work on Joker, though.
What, the Black Lantern?
No, well, either that or the Lazarus pit.
But dude, could you imagine a zombie Joker?
He's already white.
I had a hard enough time imagining a zombie Morbius, and they did it. So
zombie Morbius.
I mean, come on. It's hard enough to believe that you're a living vampire, but now you're a living vampire zombie?
Okay, I'm
going to
have to...
You're a dead vampire.
I'm going to have to pick up Marvel Zombies 3 eventually, aren't I?
Yeah.
You see, luckily I live in New York and I have a library, so I'll see if I can take it out of there.
You probably have money for comics.
Yeah, but I like money.
And also, your comic store isn't a hypocritical... run by a hypocritical jackass.
Well, it depends. If you call Raph a hypocritical jackass...
Raph is a good guy.
I know, it's just so fun. Hey, Brent, do you have any game changers you can think of?
Not really.
Really?
If he was to die.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, the DC universe would never be the same. Without BK's bullets, it would never be the same. Ever.
But comic timing would.
Yeah, that's true. I'd miss him. Okay, Brent's got at least one answer to a question going before he says night-night, because I guess we'll have to start these episodes earlier from now on, Brent.
Yeah, we might. Just
welcome to the real world.
Yeah, right. I don't even know why I'm so energetic right now, because I've moved boxes all day.
I never understand why you wanted to do it Tuesday and Thursday nights, because you always work the next day. I thought you would want to do it on a day you don't work. Stay up forever.
I know. But for some reason, it always seemed to work better this way, like schedule wise for me. Anyway, but anyway, yeah. So who do you think would be game changers in Marvel and DC if they died, Brent?
I think Iron Man.
Ooh.
Because everything revolves around him now. Basically, mm-hmm. He's the guy that's moving the Marvel universe forward and backwards, and you know. Whatever, like since Civil War, he's been the guy for the Marvel Universe, moving it in one direction. And if you took him out, since he's the prime mover, what would happen to it?
Yeah, I mean, even now in Dark Reign, he's pretty damn important.
Yeah.
And DC?
DC? Maybe. What would happen if Wonder Woman died? We haven't seen her die, really.
That's one that I pondered also. How would that affect the Trinity instead of Batman being the one that passes?
But Wonder Woman, well, a version of Wonder Woman died in Infinite Crisis.
But that was a version.
Yeah.
I said a version.
Because that's the thing about the trinity of them is that Wonder Woman is the glue that holds Batman and Superman together. It's true.
It's a trinity sandwich.
That's what she said.
She's the peanut butter between the crackers.
Two of the whitest crackers.
Cracker ass cracker. Yeah. Well, What Wonder Woman also does is, I mean, she keeps the peace for a lot of the DC universe. I mean, not even just for the Trinity. I mean, she's always been an ambassador of man, and without her, there'd be one less ambassador to deal with. So says Ian. All right, before we go to the forum comments and everything, Brent's got to go sleep.
Nighty night.
Yeah.
Night.
How early do you wake up in the morning anyway?
6:30.
Fuck, man. All right, so what? Start an hour earlier from now on? We can go by an episode by episode basis.
Okay.
Any BK's bullets upcoming?
Nope.
No.
Guess not.
The Azrael one is not going to happen.
It might.
There it.
It might.
Okay. Good night, Brent.
Good night.
Good night.
I don't watch the Goonies.
What?
Okay.
Chunk.
Of all the ways for Brent to go, that is the way for him to go. So, now that the co-host is gone, I'm going to ask Brad to pull up the forum thread for the Death in Comics, if you don't mind.
Okay, give me 1 second. Gotta find it in my favorites real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is Comic Timing, right?
No. No. It's
too old to grow up.
It's Geeks Unite.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. That never comes out. All right, so let's. But before we get to the forum comments, also, there's one more question that we have not answered yet. And that's a pretty simple one, really. Should death be permanent in comics? Or is it better to have a revolving policy?
Okay, I put it to you like this.
Yeah, yo, word.
If only a real supervillain can escape hell, Dr. Doom. And, you know, that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Point. But what does that say about the revolving door policy? I mean, so what? Are you saying that there should be a revolving door policy or not?
You should only be able to come back to life if you can actually show me that you can escape hell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what if you don't believe in hell?
Well, then you're shit out of luck.
What if you're in
Marvel
heaven?
Does.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if, like, you die not believing in hell, and you're in hell, and you still don't believe you're in hell? And everybody's like, dude, you're getting whipped by, like, devils right now. You're like, no, I'm not.
Man, that's just somebody tickling me with a feather.
Yeah. Dude, you just got branded. No, I didn't. It was just a breeze.
Yeah, it's just a tattoo.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. I'm in purgatory.
But no, really, The revolving door aspect really is too much of a double-edged sword, because at one point you want to say, okay, yeah, enough of this, but then your favorite character gets killed off, and then you're like, God damn it, I want him back.
Mm-hmm.
It's too iffy.
But aren't we whiny bitches?
True.
Well, really, that's what I'm saying. I mean, in most medium, okay, in most medium... Except for 24, when Tony Almeida comes back from the fucking dead. like, dead is dead. You know, once you're dead, that's it. Even if you were a well-liked character, you're gone. And in comics, that's not the case. Comics is, like, the only medium that I can think of, other than maybe, like, animated series, where dead doesn't necessarily mean dead. Are we just conditioned to believe that everybody's coming back? I mean, what would happen if, like, one day someone actually did adapt the whole dead is dead policy? Would fans revolt? I mean, what the hell?
I honestly think fans would revolt because, I mean, you can only go so long without killing people, and then, you know, once they're dead, they're dead. That, you know, then the companies will go bankrupt.
And then we'd have nothing to do.
Exactly.
You'd have to have a new topic for the podcast.
Welcome to Yarn Timing. On today's show, we talk about yarn.
But I do have to say, though, you know, if there's a revolving door, where's the guards? Where's, you know, the God and the Satans? Did they just, like, up and say, screw this?
They died years ago.
Oh. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, didn't DC Comics actually touch on that, like, after Infinite Crisis? They actually
For a while there, the Kid Eternity was chained so that the door was stayed open. That's how Superman and Green Arrow and all of them got back. And
right.
I guess since he's apparently in the Titans now, then, you know, that door's...
He literally made a deal with the devil. I'm serious to get out of there. Like, I mean, he made a deal with one of the other devils or something and was working for them for a while or something. I have no idea.
I was looking at it today, and it happened in the Teen Titans. But that's all I can remember. I didn't have a chance to go back through and...
Oh, you mean the Teen Titans that Sean McKeever wrote the story for?
No, when Geoff Johns was still writing it.
Okay. All right, I gotcha. Now, so that was that the Brother Blood? The Brother Blood?
Yeah, it was the Brother Blood.
It is impossible to say that. Brother Blood.
That was that storyline.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I was reading it then. Then again, I've been reading it since Geoff Johns started Teen Titans. I guess I technically haven't not read a Teen Titans issue since. Oh, boy. I might actually drop it, though, with this whole Sean McKeever crap. About him not being able to write his own book, you know, like McDuffie.
Well, I still haven't. I still have to read from just after the Terror Titans.
Okay, all right. So yeah, you got a while of good stories left. Well, what about for you, Chad? Permanent or revolving door?
Kill them all and let God sort them out.
Woohoo!
Idea. Have a mass killing, you know, all the characters, and then bring them back and actually start them anew.
Or you could just kill everybody and make new characters.
Original ideas suck.
Now, see, that's what the spirit of comics is all about.
Every character is just a ripoff of some other character.
You see, here at Marvel Comics, we believe that new ideas are the devil. So we're just going to take our back catalog.
Heresy!
We're just going to take our back catalog and look at old panels from old Avengers issues and be like, hey, have we done that yet? Nope. We should do that.
That's not Batman. He may look like Batman. He may talk like Batman. But that's not Batman. Owlman. It's Ratman.
Ratman?
Yes.
No, Ratman.
Adam West can play him again.
Yes, and he'll just drop the flying part from Flying Rat.
And he'll have really big teeth.
Dear God, what have I started? I am more for a revolving door policy, however I would like to see some people stay dead. So a little from A, a little from B.
At least post some, you know, some guards there and, you know, with a checklist or a bouncer.
Yeah, it's like... Hey guys, what's up? What's going on, man? I'm supposed to come back next week. Sorry, man, you're not on the list.
Back of the line.
No, man, I swear to God, Geoff Johns is writing me into an issue. Next, no, back of the line.
Keith Giffen promised me.
I'm sorry, that was Ambush Bug and it doesn't count. Son of a bitch. I think we've touched them all here. Like, the Yankees have done very little this year. So let's...
Woo-hoo!
You all suck. So let's
5-0!
Yeah. Frizza. And yet all the games I've gone to, except for the rainout, have all been wins. So let's go to Matthew Guy first. Matthew Guy says, a death when it comes to comics, it better last, at least for a while. Did I expect Superman to stay dead? No, but then again, I didn't expect the Billy Ray Cyrus hair either when Superman returned either. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. Just don't think you understand. Dan. So life and death is full of surprises. Death is a fluid thing in comics. It happens for a while, and then the reset button is hit, and then you enter the Konami code. No, he didn't write that. The Grim Reaper in a comics universe is thinking, why do I have this job? I mean, Barry Allen, Jason Todd, and Bucky is back, and the list continues. The death of Superman back in the 90s and Captain America, Steve Rogers, currently. I have in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I know Steve will return eventually. The question is, how does the namesake character come back? Death adds to a book when it is done correctly. It adds a sense of realism with emotion for the friends, love interests, and comic universe is deeply affected and more invested into the book as readers ourselves. Finally, as with soap operas, comic deaths are never final in mainstream superhero comics. I have accepted this as a 99.4% fact. After all, Uncle Ben is still dead, and he's still making rice. Thoughts?
That is actually 100% correct. Everything that he touched on in that, I agree with.
Especially in the 99.4%.
Well, yeah, there's the clones and the space monkeys.
Yes, and the clone monkeys from space. But
And also the space clones from monkeys.
Ooh, there you go. That's better.
I also like the point where he says, eventually the question is, how does the namesake character come back? I mean, I think, you know, probably only Geoff Johns could have brought Hal Jordan back, you know, the way he did.
Right.
Yeah, I trust him with, you know, bringing back Barry.
Jury's still out, but hopefully it'll turn out well.
Which is now 6 issues.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on that, because that's one of the things I've often wondered about it, when they bring back Captain America, how they're going to do it. Because there's been so many rumors when it happened that, you know, that wasn't Captain America and Black Widow has him on some raft in the ocean. Or
having her way with him.
and Benjamin Linus has him, tied to a tree, and he's not going to let him go until he goes back to the 1970s. Is that what's going on?
Actually, he's in a cabin in the woods.
He's in the shelter on Lost.
He's Jacob. Steve Rogers is Jacob. Oh man. But yeah. Here's the more important thing. What the hell happens to Bucky?
That's a good question.
Because when you bring back Steve, Bucky's been Captain America all this time. I mean, do you do what they did back in the 90s and just give him another identity? Because that's going to lessen the character a lot, man.
You know what I would do?
What?
If I was Bucky, I'd be like, oh, Steve, how you doing? Pop! Right in the head.
Like, hey, man, you're back. Yeah.
Zombie!
Yeah, about this whole awesome suit that I'm wearing, you can't have it.
And then he hits him with his own shield. The end. Yeah, I mean, unless they were to do something really, really cool with Bucky, like actually maybe do a Winter Soldier comic with Brubaker still writing it, and if not Epting, then another good artist on art, like a Lark or something like that, I really just want Bucky to stay Cap.
You know, I agree. I really like Bucky's Cap, but if Rogers came back, I would like to see Bucky graciously hand it back to him. Because Steve Rogers is Captain America.
What? Battle for the shield.
Yeah. A battle for the shield. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. And then Nomad comes back with like this metal plate over his face and calling himself Captain America also. And.
Oh, and Punisher with the shoulder pads.
And that like purple outfit thing he had going, man.
Jesus. That confused the hell out of me.
I was like, what the hell? What kind of drugs is he on?
Since when did he ever even really interact with Cap?
I do not know, man. I do not know. Well, he apparently, not that Cap, but the 70s Cap and him fought together, I think. In Nam.
I always hear about this other Captain America, but the only Captain America I've ever known is Steve Rogers.
Yeah, because they weren't really mentioned that much. They were in like Marvel Comics Presents and stuff.
Wouldn't you just have to go back in time and pull him out of the ice again?
Okay.
Time travel changes everything. Yeah, this is Terminator.
Yeah, they tried that with Captain Marvel and it didn't work very well.
Oh yeah, he still got cancer.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Danosaur. And this one Brad can read.
Okay. Nowadays, death simply detracts from comics. When they overhype something like death, it's ruined. Has to be quick, powerful, and unexpected. My all-time favorite has to be Colossus. Also, my favorite Resurrection, and usually I hate those, made quite moot because of Kitty's subsequent sacrifice. I also loved Thanos' demise and the Jason Todd Robin. Worst deaths belong to Batman and any time a Skrull dies.
When a Skrull dies in the forest, does it make a sound?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anytime a Skrull dies, Joe Q gets a dollar. I don't know.
Something like that. But yeah, Thanos' death in Annihilation was pretty damn bitchin', with Drax ripping out his frickin' heart.
You know? I honestly think that he will stay dead.
For a long time. Because really, Thanos, everything has been done with him. I mean, why do you think they shunted Darkseid off to another universe? I mean, he was the same sort of character.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always had hopes of more with Thanos, especially with... I've always liked the idea of him and Galactus doing something together.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Maybe.
Yeah. You know, even if it's just sitting around having coffee.
Yo, Galactus. Sup? So, like, you're tall, and I was wondering... Where do you get shoes? Galactus' response is zap, dead. Yeah, and Jason Todd, he's totally going to stay dead. All right, moving on.
What?
Well, you know, I have to say that just because I know that Leroy is going to be listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In that case, yes, Jason Todd will get stabbed in the face by, you know, anyone, preferably Dick.
In the face.
Although it was kind of funny in Battle for the Cow 2 when Tim hit him with a crowbar.
Oh, God.
Yes. Of course, it wasn't so nice what happened to Tim in return, but hopefully...
Yeah, you know.
I haven't read Battle for the Cow yet, but that just made me have to get it.
Yeah, it's not great. It's okay, but that was a pretty fun moment. All right, well, let's move on to Mr. Alec B. of Teenage Wasteland. And might I mention, Alec actually sent me an extra copy of Superhuman Resources number 1 that he had on him in the mail. So I'd like to thank Alec for that.
He's a good guy.
Yes, he is. Met him at New York Comic Con. Very, very cool fella.
And yeah. He's apparently from West Virginia. I already like him.
Oh, yeehaw. Death in Comics is just another tool for storytelling, in my opinion. Does it need to stick? Nope. But I do say that if you are going to go to the lengths to kill a character, have it last at least 4 or 5 years. I'm glad he said 4 or 5 years and not 4 or 5 weeks. Let the event
Days.
Play out. Let the results flourish and affect anything that they can. Make the deal meaningful and worth remembering. I think the supporting cast should become the front and center when a main character bites the dust. I'm sure it has been brought up plenty of times, but Captain America, the book has been all about the supporting cast for almost 2 years at this point and has turned out excellent. Of course, it takes a talented writer. Yeah, Brubaker, you're my boy! Use the absence of the main character as a chance to explore characters that have possibly been in front of the reader's eyes for 30 years. Again, use characters' deaths as a storytelling convention. Allow that event to progress the overall plot of a series and bring the character back when the section of the story is done and told. Yet, sadly, companies do like to cash in on characters' deaths and blow them out of proportion. Cap saw this, but mainly I have Superman in mind. Listen, people, Death of Superman made the '90s, not Image. Brad, I think you know why you like Alec.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
It's a topic that can go in all sorts of directions with different kinds of comic readers. For me, death is just another part of the story, just like it is with life. And what a well-spoken fellow that man is.
Yay, West Virginia.
Yeehaw. And he's absolutely right, though. Death is just another part of life, and eventually the re-life and re-death.
No, I actually love his point about, you know, when a main character dies, let the supporting cast take over, a la,
certainly,
you know, Captain America, because mm-hmm. you got Bucky, you got Black Widow, you got all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff going on sure. with his death.
Yeah. Well, let's also think about when Iron Man, when Tony Stark was thought to have died back in the day. What happened? Rhodey stepped up, and he became Iron Man for a while. And those were some great comics back in the day.
Wait, was that when the whole War Machine stuff first started?
That was when Rhodey was in the Iron Man armor.
Okay, I remember what you're talking about now.
Yeah, when Tony faked a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically he faked his death and everything. I forget exactly what the full circumstances were, but he basically went on the ground for a while and Rhodey took over. And because of that, Happy took front and center. So did Pepper and Rhodey and everything. And basically everything was fun for a while there.
Oh, you just hurt my mind.
What?
You made me think of the new Iron Man cartoon.
No. Oh, no. Okay. God. All right, mini rant time. So, you know how everybody likes Iron Man?
And I don't.
You know, I mean the real Iron Man, the real Marvel Comics Iron Man, or the movie Iron Man, all right?
Meh, so-so.
All right, I'm getting there.
Who is this Iron Man?
Multi-millionaire drunkard, okay? So you take the multi-millionaire part away, you take the old enough to drink part away, and you replace it with a story about a 16-year-old kid in the armor. You know what I call that? Pre-Heroes Reborn. And they got rid of that pretty damn quick. Not exactly a good idea.
See, all of that, I was kind of okay with. I was like, okay, this really reminds me of that MTV Spider-Man. But then they had the whole, all of his enemies have armor, and the Mandarin is now going to school with him.
This is the worst thing since the Avengers cartoon from the 90s.
Oh, God.
Okay, when everybody had armor for no frickin' reason, and they couldn't use any of the good Avengers. So they were forced to use, like, Hank Pym and...
And Falcon.
Yeah, Falcon and...
Wonder Man.
Yeah, which is always a wonderful idea, you know, to go to the dregs and bring them back up. Ugh. All right, you want to read your podcasting partner's comments?
Sure. Leroy says, also known as Ziggo, here's my two cents on this. Death in comics is really tricky and odd. It is always very shocking when they kill an iconic character in the comics, such as Steve Rogers, Batman, Superman, etc. But people should never be surprised when they come back. When they are big names like this in comics, they will always come back. Most of these characters have been around for over 70 years, like Batman, and they will continue to be around for longer than that. So if they die, it's only a matter of time before they come back in a reboot of the comic or remake or current continuity in story explanation, or if they decide to make a movie. I think if a character dies, when you bring him or her back, and most likely they always do, it depends on how they are brought back. A good example for this, and I have to warn, spoiler alert for Legion of Three Worlds, Connor Kent. I love the way that they explained how he came back, so it really depends on how they're brought back. I will say this, every time someone comes back to life in comics, people shouldn't be surprised. It's just a part of comic book format, depending on what type of story you're reading and have been reading.
Yeah. You know when people should be surprised? When people come back to life in real life.
No.
No,
then you
surprised when I came back.
Then you pull out the zombie survival guide. And
yes.
Yeah.
So wait a second. I was just at your funeral last week. How are you working here at the shop, Mark?
Yeah, B. Arthur, Black Lantern.
Oh, shit.
Dom DeLuise, Black Man.
Oh.
I could see that one, though.
You had to go to Dom DeLuise route, didn't you, man? If not for Dom DeLuise, we wouldn't have Peter DeLuise. We wouldn't have Stargate SG-1. So he is a wonderful, wonderful fella. But no, I agree with pretty much everything that Ziggo said.
Disagree with the first part where he says it's very shocking when they kill an iconic character, because you know, usually know about it 2 to 3 months when it's posted on the internet.
Well, okay, all right. Except for Cap. Wait, say again?
Except for Cap.
Yeah, except
because that was just out of the water.
Yeah, but that was still posted, you know, early.
I didn't see it until the day of.
Well, okay, the Daily News broke it the day of, and that was stupid on their part because they broke it at like 9 a.m. when the comic shops didn't open until 10. So by the time I remember, I got a knock on the door at work from my girlfriend, and she's like, "Did you hear about Cap?" I was like, "Yeah." "You want to go to the comic shop now?" I'm like, "Yeah."
"Yeah, we might want to get in line."
Yeah, and I mean, we got them before they sold out because it's Midtown Comics, and you know, that's kind of easy. But
that's like me. My dad used to run a comic store, so I've got, you know, hookups.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
I need to get a new camera because I want to take a picture in my basement. I've got over 10,000 comics.
Son of a bitch, man.
they're being sorted right now.
They're mostly your father's, I assume.
They're going to be given to me.
Oh, my God. Dude, you're going to own eBay.
No, I'm for real. I'm talking stuff back to the 50s. First appearances, first issues, first deaths. I've got sitting on my bed right now the first appearance of Taskmaster.
Buddy, pal, hombre, qué pasa?
What was your address again?
I have no address.
You ever see that movie Comic Book Villains? Watch out.
Dude, that movie's awesome.
Yes.
James Robinson.
Yep. All right, I think we're basically done at this point. Before we wrap this up, yet again, Rick Cassina, check out his BK's Bullets on RagingBullets.com when you get the opportunity. But Brad, what is upcoming on ComicTube?
Right now, we are currently in the middle of our Terminator summer event. We just put out our T2 one. Actually puts us right in the middle. Next, we're going to be doing Terminator 3, Sarah Connor Chronicles, and then a kind of expanded universe of the whole Terminator saga.
It's not the Tuma.
We've also got, we're of course doing the summer movies, Wolverine, Star Trek, Terminator Salvation going to be into the event. Our next thing closest would probably be the Supernatural season finale and Smallville season finale.
I have never heard of any of these things.
You've never heard of Smallville?
What?
Supernatural?
What?
Claws in your face?
Snicked. And one more time, we're sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Give you the picks of the month real quick here. We got Fantastic Four number 570, which is yet again Jonathan Hickman and Dale Eaglesham. 75% off on Heroes Corner, only $2.99 regular price. You are saving 75%. You're getting it for 75 cents. Booyaka sha. You're getting Doom Patrol number 1, the DC pick, written by Keith Giffen, art by Matthew Clark, co-feature written by Giffen and DeMatteis with art by Kevin McGuire, so the reuniting of them. $3.99 regular price, only $2, that's 50% off. And Days Missing number 1, it is Phil Hester with Fraser Irving. You can either get it for 50% off of 99 cents for 50 cents, or if you want the Fraser Irving cover, you can get it for 50% off of $3.99, only $2. And that's out of Archaea, so you can go ahead and get that for very, very cheap this month. So wonderful, wonderful savings on there. Going to the front page here, giving you some of the other books that are on sale. Fables number 87 is 50% off, only $1.50. We've got the G.I. Joe Special Helix 50% off, only $2. Blackest Night Superman number 1 is 75 cents this month. Ghost Riders Heavens on Fire is 75% off for a dollar. So a whole bunch of wonderful stuff. And make sure to use CTROCKS, CTROCKS, as your promo code for the month. Get an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. Best damn customer service around anywhere. You ain't going to get better than this. HeroesCorner.com. So now that we've completely diverged and probably made plenty of content for the back of this episode, Chad, you got anything you want to plug?
Well, I have to teach a spin class at 6:15, which is about 5.5 hours.
So you're stronger than Brent. You can take it.
That's right. Not really. Hardly blog. I mainly Twitter. It's Chad_Burdette. it's going to be kind of silent for the next week and a half. But after that, I should be back to my, like, 10 posts a day.
Don't play the porn name game.
Yes. And I am twitter.com/IamSciFi. I_M_sci-fi.
Yay, Twitter.
Yay. Wait, you don't want
to... Yeah, all I use my Twitter for is playing the Terminator game.
I don't want to know. Chad, I forget. Didn't you have like a podcast or something that you were doing for a very short time, or am I remembering wrong? Mm-hmm. Or was that just a blog?
No, it was my triathlon blog, but I haven't been able to update that since I might have to have back surgery this summer.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but it'll give me a great time to catch up on all my comics.
That is true. And podcasts.
And podcasts, yes.
Such as the Comic Timing Podcast, which has now hit 90. For your viewing pleasure. If I'm lucky, by the end of the year, we'll hit maybe hit 100. Maybe if we're lucky. Maybe.
Damn, how many episodes a month do you get out?
We used to get out 4, but past couple of months, between me being busy and Brent being busy, it's been more like 2 or 3 a month. So
wow.
Yeah. So
yeah, me and Leroy will be caught up to y'all probably by the end of the summer.
Yeah. Well, how many do you put out a month?
Right now we are working on 2 a week.
Crap.
Yeah.
You might want to slow down for your own sake.
Do you want to, have you seen our schedule right now?
No, have not.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't want to do a media show, because I knew that I would probably wind up doing way too much media.
It is what we love, though. Because, yeah. Let's see, we've already got Ghost Rider, Terminator 1 and 2, Heroes Volume 4, Lost the Audio 4.
Oh, boy.
We just recorded Wolverine. We've got Terminator 3 and Sarah Connor Chronicles, Smallville Supernatural, Salvation, Star Trek, Transformers Cartoon Retrospective, Cartoons We Grew Up With, Transformers the Movie, Transformers 2, Force Unleashed, Invader Zim Retrospective, X-Men Animated, Days of Future Past, Character Spotlight, Two-Face.
So a lot. We get the
yeah. Point. Yeah, and we've got some interviews lined up, too, that we're trying to do, including Daphne from Heroes.
Sweet. All right, let's end this, baby. All right, so that's that, and check everything out and all that jazz, and jing-jang. And if you want to hear a random, like, I don't know, I'm trying to remember what I've been on recently. I did a audio comment for 11 O'Clock Comics, BullpenBoldensPodcast.com, and I did a couple of voicemails for Raging Bullets, RagingBullets.com, and yeah, that's all I can think of right now. I'm tired. The email just for Comic Timing is ComicTiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at TheComicForums.com, graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at ComicGeekSpeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at ComicsPodcast.com, and members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at ComicBookJoys.com/League. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley, and please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously, graciously appreciated. And let me send a thank you out there to Brad. Welcome to the show, and hope to see you again eventually.
Definitely will. Just let me know, and I'll let you know if it's something that I can talk about.
Awesome. And thanks to Chad yet again for proving that you exist on the internet.
Yay.
Woo-hoo.
March. March at Super Show. Yes.
Ah, yes. It's a long time away.
I know.
And thanks to Brett for not falling asleep on the show and waiting until after he was off the show. And as always, there's always time for comics. Thanks for supporting us for 3 years, guys. It's been fun.
Where there was something the other day. Yeah, my mom was asking me this question. Like, there's some priest with a radio show. He's like a Catholic priest. He had a radio show, and they caught him on the beach, like, making out with some girl.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, what do you think of this? Should he be excommunicated or fired or whatever? I was like, who gives a shit? It's not news. It wasn't a little boy. Leave him alone.
That is the exact thing that my girlfriend Chris said when she heard the news. It's like, well, at least it wasn't a little boy.
Like, seriously. Anyway, sorry.
And besides, I'm Jewish, and I had a lesbian rabbi when I was a kid, so... That's all I have to say. Come on.
Oh, eyes were only men.
Oh, no. Going back.
I don't even know who you are, so.
He's Brent.
I don't listen to your show either, so there.
Oh! Ouch, the venom is being spewed.
That was supposed to sting?
Apparently. Like Scorpion used to before he became Venom. Alright. Let's,
But he became Super Venom.
Yes.
Gay Venom.
Get him.
Nobody remembers New Ways to Die?
I remember.
Didn't read it.
I remember. That's why you're my co-host, Brent. Long distance high five. Okay.
All right. The sidekick for a great podcast. Everyone is wrong.
The hell am I, Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wrong.
or better yet.
Wrong. Next topic.
Come on, let me hear you say it just this once. Superman, Will.
No, you're wrong.
Shit, hold on. Let me mute my phone real quick.
Yeah, someone should answer that. Yeah.
Wow! Chinese takeout! Oh, wait, that's Wrath.
Yeah, Wrath is not on the call. There will be no number sevens.
One number seven, one number five.
Oh, no. No white rice.
No white rice for you. Sorry.
Alright, sorry about that, guys.
No, it's okay. Perfectly fine. So, which takeout place do you live in?
Uh-huh.
sorry, inside joke, bro. Whenever Raph's phone rings, we say it's a Chinese food takeout place.
Okay.
Wow. He's that excited. Any other favorites, Brent?
I'm dying over here. No.
No? God damn it. Yeah, you are dying. That's my favorite death. That's my favorite death.
I don't believe in the strength of this topic. I'm sorry.
You don't believe in death?
Just throw it out there right now.
You don't believe in death?
No, I just... That's not what I said.
That's totally what you said, man.
It's only death if you accept it.
Yeah. Chad, Brad, back me up. That's what he said, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do I hear a baby in the background?
No, that's or my girlfriend's cat.
Oh, okay. All right. Look at everyone. I heard something that sounded childlike, so I knew it must have been a cat. Alright.
Because cats are chips.
Why did you say a baby?
Yeah, I know.
What the hell was that?
No idea. Is that you? Was that you, Brent?
That was my drawer.
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was me.
Yeah.
I named that sound.
I thought the internet farted.
That was the internet, y'all.
Oh, great.
Oh, man. I'm not here to say that's all, folks.
We're almost done, dude. We're almost done. We're in the home stretch. Don't worry.
I don't want to do fucking web postings. I don't care what they think. I want to go to bed.
Snakes on a plane?
I need to see zombies on a plane.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
No, have you seen the TV dub of that?
No.
He says, I'm tired of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, there's only one thing better than that. Let me see if I can cue it up on YouTube. Hold on.
It's on YouTube too, by the way.
Let me see if I can find the Big Lebowski one.
What are you doing?
Here you go, Larry. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps? This is what happens. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens, Larry? What happens when you feed a soldier scrambled eggs? What happens, Larry? What happens when you fool a stranger?
What the hell are you doing, man? Stop it!
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Okay. I still think Snakes on a Plane is better, which I just sent you a link to.
Yeah, let me open it up. Oh, dear.
See what happens, Larry.
You mean scrambled eggs?
I also enjoyed the edit of Happy Gilmore when they changed the Price is Wrong asshole to like the Price is Wrong jerk.
Yeah, that's back when they were just bad. They weren't.
Can't get clear the space out of the cockpit. Yeah.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane! Everybody strap in!
What?
That's a long flight.
they're going all around the world in 80 days, man.
Oh, I love Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, yes, yes.